It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Well, hello, everybody, including you, Phil.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Thewack. Take it away, Rob.
Thank you, Phil, and no hard feelings, but I only brought presents for Mike and for Don. Greetings from Manhattan.
Should we open them now, please?
Hold on.
Wait, wait until you read your joke. Let us see the gifts you got us. What did you get us?
Oh, aren't they beautiful?
Snow domes.
Oh, hey, with real New York City, that's got a lot of sentimental value.
I thought you'd like that. And $2.99 each.
I left that price on because I knew you'd like that.
Thank you, Rob.
That's the first one I ever got.
Is it really?
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. It was from New York City.
You know, in Germany, they call that a Schneekugel.
A Schneekugel?
A snow globe.
You know what we call this in America?
Garbage?
Garbage.
Right. Garbage. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Turk, and all the ships at sea. Hey, don't worry about that hairy ass beer. It doesn't show under your dressy shorts. And now, here's Don Geronimo. Mike O'Mara. I'd like to, for the record, before Charlie Stossel called, that first shot of the week was fired by Bobo Thewack.
Rob Thewack responsible for that.
Hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast and nationwide. This is a national show via the auspices of the Westwood One Radio Network. Don and Mike coming to you from Stinky Radio Station WJFK-FM in Washington, D.C.
Super stinky.
Still got the double nickel going. Still 55 affiliate stations carry this show every day.
Are you sure? Sure.
Counted before the show.
Very good.
Double nickel, and we have over 5 million Arbitron-rated listeners. We proudly and humbly thank you.
Good.
For your patronage. And, of course, chain at the top. That's the chain of management at the top.
Chained?
Yes, the chain of management.
Oh, the chain of management.
Each link stronger than the previous.
That's right, and that's the way, that's why it works so well.
Big Al, your radio pal, Jeremy the Gerbil, Big Daddy Mel, Donald Monkey Boy HD from Yes. And here he is, my left and your right, radio's Guy J. Birdley, once again going with the layered look today.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hello, Buzz. Welcome to the show, everybody. Monday, January 18.
It's the 18th.
Tuesday, January 18th. Phone number 1-877-365-3636. First, for those of us listening in the Washington, D.C. Metro on WJFK-FM, it is officially time to panic.
Yeah, they've blown it again.
The snow is sticking.
Right.
It is coming down like crazy. You had to know that we were going to get hit with a snowstorm because they didn't predict a snowstorm.
Right. No, they called for flurries, and it's been snowing all afternoon.
All right, so that's all I wanted to say. I just want to tell everybody it's officially time to panic.
They suck.
Now, before we get on with today's show jam-packed, listen to this. I got a weekend full of stuff to tell you about. Mike's got weekend activities to tell you about. Rob Spiewak went to New York for his gay homo Joe / Sopranos weekend.
Right.
We have tapes of that to get to. If we have time today, we have a brand new Match Game 2000 for you.
Oh, boy, I'm dying to play that game.
We got tons of stuff. But I got to start here. I've got to start with maybe the queerest memo that Jeremy Coleman has ever written.
Yeah, I read this memo. This memo is all Jeremy.
Okay, now, as most of you listening to the station know, WJFK-FM is the rights holder for the Washington Redskins.
Huh?
The Redskins, unfortunately, lost in the playoffs over the weekend to Tampa Bay. It doesn't matter. Tampa Bay will get killed by St. Louis this weekend.
That's what the popular school of thought says.
Oh, and for those of you listening to us on WNFL in Green Bay, who the hell is this doofus who got the job as a Packers coach?
Spencer Tracy? What's his name?
I never heard of him before. Allie Sherman?
Spencer Christian?
Spencer? What's his name? Is it Michael Sherman?
Is it Mike Sherman?
I think that's his name. Mike Sherman.
No, it was Mike Spencer.
Couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
Mike Sherman.
Okay, he's the guy. So anyway,
Sherman Helmsley.
Here on WJMK, we have the Redskins, the rights to the Redskins.
We have them. We've had them.
The Redskins lost. The season is over.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeremy wrote a memo to the staff, all the people who work on the Redskins broadcast. And, you know, I do the pregame show. I'm happy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of people behind the scenes who work on the Redskins.
Everybody works very hard. There are a lot of people that put a lot of time in during the season.
And he wrote a memo today. That is the queerest memo I've ever read to WJFK staff from Jeremy. R.E., Redskin season, comma, the end of. It was a hell of a way to end a playoff run. The kind of end,
and end is yeah, closed in with parentheses,
the kind of end that we talked about for years to come. It was going so brilliantly, too. with the running and jumping and the touching of the downs.
Oh, God.
And the thing where you bolt like lightning for 100 yards and nobody stops you.
The thing.
And then the game came to a crashing and horrible end. When the wind-up kicker dude, who was completely ready to zap the pigskin, screaming through the stratosphere to an upright stand-up victory, found nothing at the end of his foot. Cause, and he spells cause, C-O-Z.
Right.
Cause the guy who was supposed to poop the ball out to victory, pooped it out all wrong. And thus ended the postseason for the Redskins.
The guy who's supposed to poop out the ball.
Losing by a point. And causing the jaws of an enormous number of Washingtonians to be floored in paralysis. All because the ears of that enormous number of Washingtonians heard it happen live on WJFK. For us, what a way to launch the year 2000. Those who turned down the TV and turned up our Redskins radio broadcast, which my unscientific research figures is pretty much everybody, and those who were out in cars or at work listening to the game, heard our best season of work to date. Our on-air work, our at-stadium activities, and our behind-the-scenes execution were the best yet.
Jeremy!
Let me just point out, for those who don't know, this guy Jeremy, he makes our own Buzz look like Vince Lombardi.
Yeah, but Jeremy is not the biggest football fan in the world.
You know how we gave Buzz a football quiz last week when Daryl Grant was in?
Jeremy also does not follow the football.
No. Listen, you are looking at, right there, you're looking at, Newt Rockne.
Yes.
That's Buzz compared to Jeremy.
Absolutely. You know, Buzz could star in the movie Rudy.
Other stations with NFL play-by-play often job the work out to people who are otherwise uninvolved with the station. For the most part, we use our own people. And it's fun, and exhausting, and a pain in the ass, and a complete rush, and it worked great. Congratulations. Next year, the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl! Christ. That's Jeremy. My favorite part, of course, the guy that poops out the ball.
The whole middle part.
I know.
Is just
the whole middle part is when a man that doesn't know football.
When the wind-up kicker dude... who is completely ready to zap the pigskin screaming through the stratosphere to an upright stand-up victory.
What the hell is upright stand-up victory?
Nothing at the end of his foot. Cause the guy who was supposed to poop the ball out to him pooped it out all wrong.
Pooped it out all wrong.
Jesus Christ. This is the guy who's in charge of the Redskins broadcast.
Right. You can tell. Lifelong football addict.
You know what they say. Right what you know.
What happened in the game, Jeremy? Well, the guy that was supposed to poop the ball out pooped it out all wrong.
And the wind-up kick. Dude,
who was supposed to zap the pig in the stratosphere. Already memorized it.
Jesus Christ.
It's poetry.
That's one to put up on the wall.
Yes, absolutely.
Robert, that is one to immortalize, for God's sake.
That is our fearless leader, Jeremy Coleman.
Yeah, the thing that's a pisser about the Redskins game, I know everybody watched it on Saturday, was really, they were that close to winning that stupid game.
Right.
That Brett Conway... who we had on the show last week.
Ready to zap the pigskin through the stratosphere.
The field goal kicker, who wouldn't come down to judge the naked field goal contest because he was concerned that the NFL would have some problem with that being in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That guy who was on the show last week,
yep.
I was positive at about 7 o'clock on Saturday night, Brett Conway was going to hit that 51-yarder.
Right.
He was going to be the hero of the game. We were going to have him down here today.
Can I just say something?
Like it or not, we're going to have some naked chicks around him.
Can I just say, really, after watching the news and reading the newspaper articles and watching all this, please, hey, get off Dan Turk's back. I mean, really, it wasn't his fault.
Dan Turk. I would tell you about Dan Turk.
I just feel like saying, I have been seriously, you have little things you want to say when you come in here. I have been waiting all weekend to say that. I really have. Because it's so fun to watch the one, if there's one guy in this town, if you're a Redskins fan, and there's one guy that you can take all of your frustration, I don't think there's ever been a more pure example.
Both of the Turk boys are equally basking in the hatred of this town. But let me tell you what a pussy Dan Turk is. I'll give him this. He screwed up the snap. Okay, now keep in mind, this is something a monkey can do. Okay? All you have to do is bend over and snap the ball back 10 yards.
Were you a long snapper when you played?
Yes, I was, a matter of fact.
So was I.
From Magruder High School, which illustrates the point.
You can get it there kind of like any way you so choose.
Anybody can do it, and that's a perfect illustration. If you can do it,
yep.
And I can do it,
oh, yeah.
For God's sake, some guy who's a pro athlete can do it. But
I think he was trying to do it too well.
But he didn't do it.
Right.
And here's why I am pissed at Dan Turk. When you screw up a playoff game and you are the sole reason that the team is lost, there's two things you got to do. First, you got to be a man. You got to stand up to all the dumb reporters.
Yes.
And you got to say that I did.
Well,
he didn't. He ran out of the locker room, didn't talk to anybody. Second, for God's sakes, get on the plane with the rest of the guys who were actually out playing the friggin' game. You know what Dan Turk did? He stayed down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed down in Tampa Bay.
He missed that huge reception.
What a pussy!
He missed that huge reception at the airport. You know, now normally, I just want to tell the Redskins fans that you know, usually, maybe it's a championship game when the team loses the championship and they come back and you see. And I was getting ready and said, well, there's some loyal fans, greet the Redskins. And there was like,
one guy with a flag.
No, there was 10. There was a total of 10 people at the airport when they came back.
Yeah, this is the same team that filled airplanes to go down to Tampa, and there are 10 people at the airport when they lose.
But this Dan Turk, how much of a pussy can you be? Kiss your NFL career goodbye. Wait till the word gets around the league. Not that this guy only screwed the Redskins out of the playoffs. He's such a pussy. He won't get on the plane with the other players to come back. Stay down in Tampa Bay and hide.
Well, I think everybody's being way too hard on him.
Hard on, Mike. That's exactly what he is. He's a big hard on.
Oh, God.
Stupid Turk.
Oh, my God.
And then the other Turk goes out to the park yesterday, arrives at Redskins Park, leaves his car running as a parking lot. Not a lie. Leaves his car running while he goes into a team meeting and then comes out and says, I'm really upset because no one's told me what's going on.
He apparently doesn't want to be here.
I don't want to be back.
Right.
They never treated me nice. See, they never treated you nice. They pay $1 million for being a goddamn punter. $1 million.
You know, I like it when you're venting now. The frustration of the loss is coming out.
There are two reasons the Redskins are not going to St. Louis to get their asses kicked this weekend. And those two reasons are Dan Turk and Matt Turk.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I'm pretty sure the Redskins would be huge losers if they went to St. Louis. Doesn't matter who goes to St. Louis.
Yeah, I think Tampa Bay's going to get their butts kicked.
But it would have been nice if the Redskins could have gone. And
you were going to St. Louis.
Yeah, I got the feeling I jinxed it. I really got the feeling I jinxed the Redskins because at halftime when they were winning 10-0, I called to the station. I said, you know what? The pregame show's got to be in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be in St. Louis this week.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be, because St. Louis is going to beat Minnesota. Redskins are going to play St. Louis. Got to be there. They made the plane reservation.
Right.
Got the rental car. Got the hotel room.
Everything was set to go.
And then this happened. And then Dan Turk ruined my trip to St. Louis next weekend.
Has Dan Turk offered any commentary on
No, he's still down in Tampa Bay.
He hasn't said anything about it.
He's not even here.
Maybe he's going, you know, instead of that little boy, he's going back to Cuba. Maybe he's just going to Cuba to get out
of
the
country.
Good
idea. Oh, I got to get
out of the boat. Big guy, you know, the water up to almost the whole level of the boat.
Hold on, listen to this. This pissed me off more than anything. Jeff?
Yeah, Mike, I don't know what you were watching, if you're a Skins fan, but not only did he screw that snap up, but then he smiled and laughed with his brother on the sideline.
This was the nail in the coffin.
Hey, good for him.
This guy has shut up.
Somebody in this town has to do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Somebody has to do it.
No, you don't. This could be a total lynch mob.
Tell him, Domingo.
This guy has just screwed the Redskins out of the playoffs, and they go to a shot of him on the sidelines. And he's standing there with his fag brother with his hat on backwards, and they're laughing like Eddie Haskell and Beaver Cleaver. They're just laughing, big smiles.
Yeah, they were just overwhelmed with emotion. And
oh, please.
You know what kind of laugh it was? It was this kind of laugh.
The kind of laugh that's followed by... Well, they didn't show that part, Mike.
They didn't show the part where they both burst into tears.
It was the laugh of the dead.
The mirthless laughter of the damned.
The mirthless laugh of the damned. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, is one on the air?
Yes, this is Joe and Reno.
Yeah, you guys are killing me, man. You guys are thinking you already made the field goal and the snap took the good field goal out of the goalpost, and like you're assuming you would have made the field goal anyway when he's never kicked longer than a 48-yarder in the first place, man. What's up?
What was it, 51? He would have aced it. He had the wind at his back.
He would have, man.
He
wouldn't have even made it had the snap been there, you guys.
No.
I know you guys are Washington Redskins fans.
Now, look, I'm there I have to part company, okay? I don't, you know, know, I think he would have made that kick. You know, I mean, I may be the biggest Dan Turk fan on the face of the planet, but I'll tell you right now, I don't think that the kicker, Brett Conway, would have missed that field goal.
No, that was a good field goal.
It was just perfect. It was ready to
go. You know, here's the thing. Maybe that guy's here. Maybe Brett Conway doesn't have a 51-yard field goal in him. But at least how about give the guy a friggin' chance to kick the ball?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I ask. Just a friggin' chance.
That's right.
Just a chance, man.
Absolutely.
But no. The Turk boys.
Oh, man.
Christ. I'd rather have the Super Mario Brothers there. I'd rather have Dr. Joyce Brothers there. I'd rather have the Smothers Brothers there.
Are you
the Osmond Brothers there?
Are you still talking about Dan Turk?
Yes.
You're not casting any eyes on old Butterfingers Brad Johnson.
No. Our hillbilly quarterback?
He's just kidding.
He did the best he could.
No, he did.
He was limping and pimping. You know him. Hello, Darryl.
Yeah.
Hello, Darryl.
How you doing? I don't think it's totally his fault. Come on, what about...
Whose fault?
It's not totally Dan Turk's fault.
Oh, yeah. Immediate disqualification.
Of course he's right.
Sorry. DTT. Death to Turk.
Might have been a gust of wind.
Oh, please. Dan Turk's a pussy and you know it. Stop standing up for him, Mike. Stop it.
Someone's got to.
No, they know it has to stand up for Dan Turk. F Dan Turk. F Matt Turk. F them both.
Don't like Matt Turk.
But you like Dan.
Love Dan.
Okay. Go figure.
Love Dan. No, I don't know Dan. I don't know. I felt as though someone, you know, I've been looking forward to coming in just doing this for fun.
And the other games, listen, even though the first game was a blowout.
Right.
Kind of sweet to watch Jimmy Johnson and get his ass kicked so bad, isn't it?
I've never seen anything like that. I mean, they set all kinds of records.
Fantastic. And then the game yesterday were good, too.
Yeah.
The St. Louis game was good. I was glad Minnesota scored a bunch of points at the end. And I found myself actually rooting for Tennessee yesterday at the end of that other game.
I was a Colts guy. I kind of liked the Colts. I thought they were going to do a lot better than they did. You know, the thing that was sad about that game, it was funny sad. A lot of it falls into the funny sad category when you're watching the playoffs in the NFL. Jim Mora, all the Saints memories came back with Jim Mora.
How many times they put it on the screen? Jim Mora has never won a playoff game.
And it's like, there's Jim Mora on the sideline with that. You know, there was that time when he was coaching the Saints where he got all that media when the Saints were not sucking and the Saints were actually making it to playoff games. And then you would see Jim Mora on the sidelines as they would lose their playoff game. And then, you know, they'd lose some horrible game the following season where he'd come out, you know, leading up to when we suck, we stink.
It's a breakdown.
And there was the same look on his face. He got interviewed before in the pregame show and I was watching an interview with him. And I think... it's just tough for those players under Jim Mora to respond to the guy.
It's like playing for Norman Bates.
It's like
it really is. I mean, yeah. Besides the fact that the guy physically resembles Norman Bates,
it's like you want to, you know, in your neighborhood, you never wanted to do a favor for the super strictest dad. You know, you just wanted to avoid him.
And don't you know that all the Indianapolis players before the game played, you know, we got a huge game today. Not only do we have to play this great Tennessee team, but listen,
Dad's watching.
You know. The Jinx is coaching us today.
Right.
Mr. Jinx, Coach Jinx.
I mean, seriously, talent, you know, they stand up with any team in the NFL when you look at the talent. And I really expected...
I thought the Colts would kill them all.
I really did. I thought the Colts were going to kick ass. I mean, they start to screw up. You know, you start to see Peyton Manning, who's really probably one of the best quarterbacks.
It wasn't his fault. Peyton Manning threw so great balls as it is. Idiot receivers. Edgerrin James dropped a million balls yesterday. Yeah. Marvin Harrison dropped a bunch of balls.
But at different moments during that game, at different moments during that entire game, every single member of that team screwed up one time or another.
Yeah, they did.
It was amazing.
It's the Mora factor.
They get the close-up of Jim Mora.
Coach Jinx.
Has that look on his face.
And meanwhile, that guy that's the coach for Tennessee looks to me like the manager of a Domino's Pizza.
He does.
He does not look like a football coach to me.
He's looking more like a genius, too, though, isn't he?
With his poofy hair.
He doesn't look like a football coach.
Did you see what he was? He was so pissed off. He was trying to call the timeout to get the replay.
Yeah, his little doohickey in the back, and his little fanny pack didn't work.
And he pulled the thing off, and he starts waving the thing around in the air, the button he had to press for the instant replay.
And then he got charged for a timeout. They said the reason he got charged for a timeout is that if your mechanism doesn't work, you're supposed to throw a red flag.
And
they come back and they say the red flag was in a storage bin 3 feet deep, and that kind of made them all look like idiots.
Hello, Terry from Sacramento.
Hello, Don and Mike. Great show.
Hey, thank you, buddy.
Hey, I was wondering, how did you do with your bet with Jim Nance? Did that Washington game cost you?
With Nancy, let's see. Let's figure it out. I know we won the first game.
We wanted Miami.
We took Jacksonville. Second game, he won.
The Redskins.
He took Tampa Bay. We took the Redskins.
Did you originally have Tampa Bay?
Yeah, but we changed to the Redskins. Third game, we took St. Louis, didn't we?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we took St. Louis.
Anybody remember this? And we took St. Louis?
I know we had to take St. Louis.
And I think the fourth game, we took Indianapolis.
Okay.
So maybe we split with him. I don't know. Well, either way, we'll probably have him back on the show this week.
I think when I was listening to your show...
Did anybody write it down? Charlie Broyhill, did you write it down by any chance?
I think you took Minnesota, and then you wanted to change it to St. Louis, and Jim said no because the bets were already in.
Oh, Christ. I hope we didn't lose 500 more bucks to Jim Nance. Jim Nance, the NFL today.
Could we have taken Minnesota in that game?
I think we did.
I'm almost.
I don't know how that could have happened, though, because
that would have been your move.
No. I had side bets going all weekend with Charlie Broyhill that St. Louis would kill Minnesota. I mean, I can't imagine that in good conscience I would pick Minnesota.
Did Nancy take Minnesota?
Nancy said that he would not allow you to take St. Louis because the bets were all closed.
Oh, my. Are you 1,000% sure about that?
Hey, Broyhill, come here.
Yes, I am.
Where's our producer?
Oh, bummer.
We'll have to figure it out.
I don't want to lose twice to him.
Me either. What the hell did we take Minnesota for if we did that? It must have been your pick, Mike.
No way. You overruled me.
No. I'm positive it was your pick.
You overruled me.
No.
But, Don, you weren't sure. You wanted to change.
I said all week long, independent of you, I had a separate dialogue going to Broyhill that St. Louis would kill Minnesota.
But, I mean, I thought that the way...
Do we have a tape of Friday?
I thought I completely yielded to your picks on it.
I think I gave it to you because we went with the Redskins.
The whole thing was a tie.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Who picked what? I don't remember offhand. You picked...
I know we got the first game,
Washington.
Right.
Yeah, we picked Washington.
And he took Tampa, and we had
the game
Miami.
You got right was...
I remember now, we went back and changed it, because we had picked Tampa.
We took Jacksonville over Miami, right. And then we lost on the Redskins. Who did we pick on St. Louis and Minnesota?
You took Minnesota because he took St. Louis.
Christ, I can't believe we did that. Awful. And we must have taken Tennessee, though.
Okay, so I think...
He took Indianapolis.
Then how could it be a tie?
Because he took Indianapolis, too.
Oh. Yes.
All right, well, then we'll break the tie with him this week.
All right, good.
Are you guys going to do the bets again this week?
I guess so.
Okay.
Broyhill, technically, you kind of owe me money.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we never made...
Technically, we never bet on anything.
I know we never made a bet, but...
Right.
But if we had made
that bet... If we had made a bet, we would have won.
All week long, Charlie Broyhill was saying, Minnesota's going to kill St. Louis.
I want to do that bet with you, not about the St. Louis game, because we both agree that St. Louis is going to kick ass, but about the AFC game. I will take that bet. You think Tennessee's going to
win? Oh, I will bet you dreidel dollars that Tennessee wins.
All right, 20 dreidel dollars that...
as a matter of fact, why don't we just... Not right now, but at some point... Try to think something a little more humiliating than just money. Not a head shaving, certainly.
Here we go again.
Not really like... I don't not a head shaving.
I don't
no,
want
no, no, no. Just something that is minorly...
humiliating.
Yes, a minor humiliation.
Okay, I'll give it some...
Rather than bet money, that's how sure I am that Tennessee's going to win.
All right, great. Because, I mean, that's a good... And you kind of rooted for Tennessee against Indianapolis.
Yeah.
I kind of rooted for the Colts and... You know, but see, I hate rooting for Jacksonville.
I do. I just realized that.
I'm rooting for Jacksonville.
Don't forget what a doof as he is.
Yeah.
All right, well, someone out there, I'm sure, will help us come up with a bet that is humiliating, but not to the extent of getting a head shaved or something like that.
What about a nose piercing?
No.
I don't want to do anything to my body.
What about a pie in the face?
Yeah. Good, simple pie.
Good.
But
a real pie, though.
Like an apple with cream on it?
Yeah, like a store-bought pie.
It's got to be a cream pie. Like a chocolate cream
pie. Lemon cream, banana cream.
You don't want meringue, because meringue won't stick to the face.
Okay. All right, how about
that?
Yeah.
Pie in the face?
Pie in the face.
Okay.
Pie in the face bet. Excellent bet.
All right, bet it. In the books, then. I'll take Tennessee.
It's going to be, I'm ambivalent, because, I mean, I really don't like rooting for Jacksonville. Because after Brunel was so bad. But I do think they're going to win. Simply based on their performance against Miami.
No, Miami sucks. Tennessee, baby. Tennessee and St. Louis in the Super Bowl.
They're well coached with that Domino's manager.
In the Super Bowl. Thank you, my friend. If you're still there.
Well, you're not still there. All right. Goodbye. Pie in the face bet.
Pie in the face. Paid off. 1 week from yesterday. Next Monday on the show.
Next Monday, a pie in the face.
That's when we have the payoff. Now, listen, today's show is jam-packed. Let me just start to get to the weekend.
Okay.
I've got a couple of weekend things to tell you about. Of course, I'm distraught on Saturday with the Redskins.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I thought, how do I get out of this? I mean, I was really in a funk on Saturday night and even into Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's how into it I was. So I decided we were up at Ocean City. What better way to get it out of my system than to take the lads out for a morning of paintballing?
Ah, yeah, a little violence.
We went out and we bought yesterday 10,000, I take it back, Sunday, 10,000 paintballs.
Jesus.
At this place.
Oh, buku dollars to go paintball.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Split them up. We each had 2,500 paintballs.
Do you have your own gun now?
I do not, however, will you like Svengali, because this weekend, I, in fact, me, the great pacifist,
yes,
Mr., I abhor violence,
mm-hmm.
I'm actually becoming a redneck and buying my own paintball gun this weekend.
if you're going to go for it all the way.
How much I loved it. Now, I will not bore you with the details, because I was told that we reran a segment yesterday
mm-hmm.
about the first time I had been paintballing over
right.
the summer, and it was much the same, just let me say, for the record, that it was very much like the opening scene in Saving Private Ryan yesterday. And I was the American.
Right.
And the kids, they were the crowd.
So they had the entrenched positions.
Uh-huh.
They were firing on you as you were storming the beach.
I love it. I found the secret to battle.
What?
Don't aim.
Right.
The secret to battle is just go up with a gun and just keep pulling the trigger.
That's right.
And eventually, if you spray enough, and like in one game, I think they said in an average paintball game, where you take sides and you play capture the flag.
Right.
The average paintballer goes through 100 balls in an average game.
How many do you go through?
1,000.
Oh, God.
I went back and refilled 5 times.
Well, that's a problem, though, isn't it? That would mean if you go through 1,000, you're not going to go. You don't have a magazine that can take 1,000.
No, here's what you do. They give you this belt, and you have these big-ass giant plastic tubes that are full, that have 200 paintballs in each one.
Right.
And when you're running around, you got these things strapped to your belt. So when your ball runs out, when your paintball runs out of balls, mm-hmm. you hide behind a bale of hay, you take the gun off, and you just fill it back up again.
Now, if I was competing against you in paintball, I would wait till you stopped shooting, because I would know that the only way you would stop shooting is if you were completely out of ammo.
Well, but see, that is where I have the advantage, because I'm playing against 14-year-olds.
Okay, so they don't have
that logic.
Sure. Yeah.
They had no idea where I was in my magazine. So I mean, like, crazy. I'm just wasting money left and right.
So you're using a rental gun.
Yeah, and I've decided that after doing that, I have to get my own.
You have to get your own with, like, more of a capacity, too.
Yeah, I did research on it.
Sure.
Shocker, they're all over the internet. You can find guns that shoot, I don't know what the ratio is of the gun I was using yesterday, like maybe 250 feet a second.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a gun that shoots a paintball like 500 feet a second.
Well, that's got to hurt.
Ouch.
Right. Right.
Only I've only played paintball once, and it actually hurt when you got hit.
Oh, I've got little welts on my legs and on my arms today, but I've got to tell you, I gave as good as I got. You know, and that's the point when you're really, you're out playing. I was playing with Bart and with a bunch of friends.
Right.
And they're wonderful kids. I love them. But it was war.
It's war.
I had one of them right down on the ground in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, please let me go.
And
I said, okay. I took the gun away, then boom!
Oh,
right in the ass.
No mercy.
Got him right in the ass.
So 500, is that the maximum, 500 feet a second?
I don't know. I'm going to research it. Whatever it is, the Terminator of paintball guns.
You're going to get the best possible gun.
I'm getting it.
Sure. You're going to get like a machine gun paintball.
It's going to be as close to getting a real gun as I can.
Maybe you get the kind that like spins around, you know.
Or like a Gatling gun.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I'm so into it. It's so rednecky, and you should see the people that go to this place.
Were there lots of older... I'd be concerned...
Trailer, trash...
But you're not the only adult there, right?
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, they were trying to convince me to join a league yesterday. And there are leagues for like 40-year-old men.
Oh, that's big. You'll meet your doctors and lawyers in that league.
Where guys dress in camouflage and junk. And I said, no way. I said, I feel confident playing against 14-year-old kids.
You know, I think it really, in all seriousness, you join one of those leagues, the next step is you're out, you know, you're out at your first militia meeting. I really think that would be the next step up. I think it's good to, if you keep a, you know, keep a distance. Get the best equipment, though.
Oh, I shall.
You're going to get camouflage?
They supply the camouflage. Good. They supply a jumpsuit for you and a helmet and stuff. But I'm thinking about getting something that's not so much the green camouflage.
Right.
I'm thinking about more of a gray motif.
Well, how about black? You know, how about SWAT team motif?
Could be, Mike.
You know, get yourself some military boots.
Could be. This is something that I totally have made fun of for years. But I found every time I went to do this, not only do I like doing it because it's something I can do with my kid and the friends.
Right.
I found. I just love it.
Mm-hmm.
What a great way to get all this aggression out of myself. Every time I'm killing one of these children with paintballs, I'm exercising something, whether it be, and I don't mean exercising like lifting weights, I mean exercising like The Exorcist. I mean, you know, every time I would shoot Daniel, one of the boys,
right.
I would really be shooting cans. You know, when I got the other kid in the ass,
mm-hmm.
Kyle, I wasn't shooting Kyle. I was shooting Jeremy.
Jeremy, right in the ass.
Oh, it was just great fun.
So, I mean, you're really hot to try. You're going to buy that gun right away?
This weekend.
Wow. I'd love to look at it.
I'm thinking about going back next weekend and paintballing all weekend long.
Well, if you ever get a chance, bring your gun in sometime.
Oh, I will. I'll demonstrate it.
I'd really like to see
it. I'll demonstrate it.
It'd be fun.
And when I got up there yesterday, I blew that guy's mind. The guy says, how many paintballs do you like? And I felt like that guy in Animal House. Could I have 10,000 marbles, please? I said, we will take 10,000 paintballs.
How big? I mean, what does that take up when you get 10,000 paintballs?
They put them in canisters.
Okay.
That hold like it's 100 to 150 each, and the paintball gun itself will hold about 150 paintballs.
So you're like a few truckloads of paintballs.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, we got I don't know. We got a box full of canisters yesterday. I mean, we monopolized the paintball place for 4 hours on Sunday.
I haven't seen one of these. How big are the paintballs? Are they like ping pong balls?
No, not that. They're about as big as a marble.
Okay.
Or a little big. Like, you know, a large size marble.
Smaller
not
than I thought.
Not a small marble.
Okay.
But, oh, baby, do they hurt.
Are you going to get your own helmet, too?
Yeah. I'm going to.
You're going to get the whole outfit.
You know me, Mike.
That's cool.
When I dive into something,
yeah,
I dive in 100%.
All the way. You know what I'm thinking? You can combine two of your love.
I'm not wearing a Star Trek uniform.
No, this is not what I was thinking. I was thinking when you're on that, when you get all your equipment and the weather warms up, when it gets hot, you can play paintball on jet skis.
Shut up.
Imagine that. That would be painful, though, because you want to let your shirt off, and that'll mean the paintball will really hurt.
No, you gotta have padding on. What I wore yesterday was a chest protector, a catcher would wear.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, I put that on underneath.
You will admit, though, I mean, even
jumpsuit.
If you were able to have the right padding, it would certainly, and the environmentalists weren't going to swoop down on you, it would be certainly an interesting James Bond-like concept, you know?
Yeah.
Imagine that, load up on a paintball. You'd probably screw your gun up when it got wet.
Though, yeah, right? I don't think so. Although, I will take your suggestion that I wear an all-black uniform.
Yeah, I think that would be that would be a very good idea.
And I told Bart, I said, if we do like the father and son thing on this, we can go play. You know, I got acres of forest behind my house.
Right.
I said, I'll just put on a football helmet.
Oh, sure.
And we can go out and play. That way you can shoot me in the helmet all you like.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
That's fun.
Oh, I love that. Now,
this is fun.
Mike, all my paintball brothers are calling right now.
Oh, here we go.
Indulge me for just a moment in this. Andrew.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Overachiever Hotline right here.
Hello, Andrew. Mike, please. I bet that there are a bunch of... never mind. I don't think there's a bunch of real smart guys playing paintball. I think, as a matter of fact, I'm probably the smartest guy that plays paintball, and I'm a pretty dumb guy.
That is awesome.
Actually, Dal, I go with a lot of my D.C. think tank buddies. We go every year on my birthday, and we go out, and we shoot the hell out of each other in the woods. And we go play with these guys who have these huge auto guns that shoot, like, hundreds of paintballs a minute. I mean, they're fully automatic.
That's what I got to get.
This nitrous oxide thing, you got to go fill up with laughing gas.
The guy told me about this. I saw this gun at the paintball place. It's the Terminator of paintball guns.
Unbelievable. We stopped playing with these guys because they just kept killing us because they shoot everything.
This thing has, like, this metal space-age canister on the side of it. And this guy's right. You fill it up with laughing gas. And what it does is... it shoots the ball out so damn fast that the people you're playing against, they have no chance. You kill them all.
You totally dominate the field. It's unbelievable. We went through 12,000 paintballs when we played. But we had like 40 people playing. I mean, it was nothing like you guys.
I went through 10,000 with 3 kids on Sunday.
Amazing.
All right, thank you, Andrew.
They also, just so you know, they also have paint grenades, apparently, too.
Oh, I'm so into this now. I'm so ashamed that I'm so into this.
Well, how are the more pedestrian guns, how do they shoot it? Do they also use pressurized gas, or is it used by, like, a rubber band? Or
no,
how do they
shoot them? There's some kind of pressure, because when you shoot it, goes... you hear it pushes out.
Like CO2, maybe? Like carbon dioxide?
Something like that.
You know what would be better than a company picnic?
Yeah.
I mean, really, my wife told me that her office used to set these things up where they'd go out and they'd get teams from the office, just like
I'm
this guy
you, Mike,
said, it's his think tank, buddy.
It was us against the people on the third floor.
How about the programming against sales?
Oh.
Yeah.
No. No, you know why? We'd have to have, like, Jeremy on our team.
Oh.
It should be...
we could have Liddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
we could have Liddy.
Liddy, they and they. He would be a killer at paintball.
That would be, that would completely negate the Jeremy factor if we had Liddy.
That's true.
We'd have Jeremy, like, make Coco back at the lodge.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike.
He could write the memo about it.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you, I used to play amateur, like you'd see on ESPN when I was back in college a few years ago.
Yeah.
And the two guns are the Autococker and the Automag, and they could shoot like 80 yards accurately.
All right, thank you, my friend. I'll research it. I'll let you know when I finally do get the gun.
Well, yeah, the college had a community in it.
I will. The 13th grade. I'll bring it in when I get the gun. I'll bring it in.
I would be 1,000,000% for it, seriously, if we organized... Like, in place of... Well, we don't have the company picnic that we used to have at the old radio station.
Oh, a paintball party would kick ass, Mike.
A paintball party on the weekend, like a Saturday morning, everybody goes out and...
And I'm telling you, you get done with it, and you feel like you've been in a war, because all day long, you're rolling around on the ground, you're jumping, you're going from haystack to haystack.
I would love that. I would love that, and we have programming against sales.
That'd be great.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don. It's called the Angel. It shoots 14 balls a second, man.
That's a lot of balls.
Thank you, my friend.
It's crazy, man.
The Angel. The Angel.
The Angel of Death.
I'll research it. I think I've just about got my son incidentally convinced. You know, he got straight A's on his report card this last night.
Yes.
And we promised him he could get a dog. I've almost got him convinced to forget the dog and get a paintball gun.
Oh, that's good. I think it's a better alternative. Absolutely. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don. So you got one paintball gun. It's got a computer, like, monitor on it, and it tells you how many balls you shot and the temperature of the barrel.
Oh, well, how much would that cost?
It's $1,500. I thought you.
Now, that's
me.
That is moving into the land of the moron further than $1,500.
I don't need that. I don't need a computer to tell me how many balls I've shot.
I'd really like to meet the individual that drops $1,500 on a paintball.
No, you might be looking at it. Not that gun per se.
Yeah, right.
But you might be looking at a cousin to that person.
Do they get up that high?
You could spend up to $3,000. I found out for. I looked at this.
Oh, my God.
Everything in this country. You can't do anything fun without dropping a lot of coins.
This one yesterday that I saw with the laughing gas, with the thing that shoots it out,
yeah.
That was $2,900.
Hmm. Oh, my God.
But it's like the BMW of paintball.
Well, you'd also want to play it every weekend, then.
Yeah.
I would think.
Or like if it was me, you know.
Yeah.
Until I get bored with it. Which is why I'll probably buy a medium level gun.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you don't want to go crazy.
Just to make sure. Because you know me with my low attention span.
I know. I
feel like all the other crap I've got in my garage that I loved for a weekend.
Right.
And then decided I didn't really like.
But I'll tell you, paintball, I think it's fun. I would love it if it was people from work. I can't think of anything better.
Let me see. Also from the weekend, I need to tell you about, I'll tell you some of them. We also played laser tag.
Mm-hmm.
After paintball was
right.
Just a real, real come down.
What time was
Eric Williams wants to talk to you?
What time was karate class?
You know, if it didn't karate, be like Elvis. It'll be all fake karate.
Everybody applauding.
Hello, Timbo.
Hey, anytime, baby. Name the spot. Where does it go?
What are you into paintball, Tim?
You know, dabble around a little bit of this and that.
Oh, so you. Are you up for the challenge of us against you?
Is there a challenge?
You know what?
Yeah, I think it should be programming against
sales. No. I don't feel good with that. I would feel more comfortable with Tim being on our team.
Well, Tim would
I
have
really
to,
would.
Tim would have to leave the sales team.
No, I think we should just take up sides. That it should just be people from
so
the
station.
So
we have everybody from the station, then we pick teams. We have captains, and yes. we pick teams.
So we have captains, like one person gets the first pick, then the next person gets two picks,
yeah.
Back and forth.
And then Jeremy's cool. Like last.
Yeah. Jeremy, of course, would be the last kid picked.
Right.
Jeremy could be the equipment manager. Like
hey, Timbo, how would you like to be a captain?
No, I don't want to be a captain, but I will tell you, you're going against St. Louis if you come against sales.
Really, besides you, who else is there?
Come on, baby.
You know what he's doing? He's throwing down a challenge here.
Okay. Besides you, who else is...
You got 19 meat-eating, would kill their grandmother for the next dollar salespeople? Are you kidding me?
Okay, we got...
Well, you know what? Hold on. All right, then if you do it like that, I get the junkies involved.
Yep.
You know, there's four guys who have a killer mentality. Then you have...
You got Broyhill, you got me, you got you.
Right. We got Liddy.
Right, Liddy.
A Big Gum Jim. He can be a good sacrificial lamb.
Right.
You know what I think? Big Gum Jim... Are you on thinking medic?
Oh, that ain't perfect.
You know, we'll get you one of those nice mash hats.
I can do surgery.
So the buds wouldn't have to actually get involved in it.
And maybe we could get Rob up in a turret.
No, I was going to ask if I could do a USO show.
We get Jason Feasy on our team.
Tim, besides you, who would you think your top three would be?
My top three would be Tim, 6'2", 270 pounds, McCarthy.
Yeah, Tim McCarthy, big man.
Probably not you, you know, anyway. I think Big Al, your radio pal, still in sales last time I checked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody's going to be taking him out on your team. Do you think anybody will?
Take out Al?
Yeah, we'd have a sniper on him.
Yeah.
You'd have a sniper on your boss?
Yes, absolutely. He would. As a matter of fact, I would wager that Alan would be the first member of your team killed.
It could be tough. I'm starting to think about the team. You got Madonna.
Actually, Madonna and Bretta would probably end. Michelle would give you a 1-2-3 punch. You probably wouldn't even know who hit you.
Oh, that's a firing squad right there. Well, you've just mentioned those three.
All right,
Tim, consider that challenge accepted. We will put our team together and get back to you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, goodbye.
That's cool. And you can do it in the winter, too, right?
Next big event, yeah. We should do it one of these weekends after the Super Bowl.
That's cool.
Have our big paintball challenge.
It's fun to even do. Can you do it? Can you do it in the snow?
Of course you can do it anyway. That's the great thing about paintball.
We should
get some kind of a big...
Battle of the Bulge.
Big outdoor area.
Right.
You know,
well, don't they have places where we'd have to go someplace where we could rent the stuff.
Take prisoners and stuff.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. And you know,
have our way with them.
I'm thinking mainly about Michelle right now. Might have to torture old Michelle. Might have to give Michelle the strip torture.
Oh, God.
This might have to. You know what? When I buy the gun,
yes,
I will look into renting them. I'll get a warning. I'll do some legwork on those.
Do you do this like way down at the...
At Ocean City, yeah. They got a great place there. But there's a million places around here to do it, too.
Yeah, I mean, look where we are out here.
Yeah, of course.
You know there's spots.
We're in Fair Neck, Virginia. Are you kidding? There's probably one right down the block from us.
I love that idea.
All right, so listen, love paintball. But the difference between paintball and laser tag...
Yes.
Miles apart. Once you paintball, I took the kids to do laser tag then on Sunday night.
Right.
It just sucked. Yeah. Sucked by comparison.
And it smells like cheese.
Yeah, it's hot. There's a million kids in there. There's little kids running all over the place. And besides, I suck at laser tag. Like, every time I come around the corner, some kid would point that thing right at the... Because, you know, they strap that thing on you that's got the little neon light in the middle of your...
It doesn't make a noise or something when you get hit.
Yeah, and then you try to shoot your gun, and you look at the gun says you've been shot.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go back to a recharge area to recharge.
See, I mean, with paintball, you get real evidence, real hard evidence that, you know, that you're a loser.
Very violent weekend I had.
Oh, but I loved it.
Truly loved it. Also, I got some thoughts on the Sopranos that I'd like to share with you.
All right.
You know what? So many things. Let me do a break. I got some late thoughts on Letterman.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Larry King.
You still think it's a conspiracy, the Letterman thing?
Thoughts on Marie Osmond. I told you before the show, our bet is still on.
Wow. Right.
That Letterman is back behind his desk by February 14th.
That is the date.
But I do have a thought about what they should do in the interim. Mm-hmm. I think it's a valid thought that I have. I'd like to tell you about that. Let's do the toe tapping. Touch toe right here. 100 time, your first chance this week to win up to $10,000. It lies straight ahead with the secret celebrity laugh number 2.
Yes, so I haven't figured it out yet.
And if we don't get a winner by the end of this week, we're going to start giving you the easy clues.
And they are easy.
Caller 100 right now. Good luck. Phone number 1-877-365-3636.
He's the dawn in my...
You live in Mobile, Alabama. Just after 3 o'clock local time, and you hear this show every day on WABB. Mobile.
Executive directors of the group home, Don and Mike.
Yeah, we tried. Caller 100 time, and here we go. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, this is Chris.
Hi, Chris. You are the 100th caller.
Yeehaw!
Yeehaw. What's your name? I mean, where are you from?
I'm from Annapolis, Maryland.
Beautiful. So you're listening on good old JFK?
Yes, sir, I am.
Caller 100, you've won the Sopranos prize pack. Don't miss the Sopranos. Sunday at 9, new episode. 9 Eastern, 8 Central, only on HBO.
Fantastic.
All right, you ready to go for... Ready to go for up to $10,000?
Yes, sir.
Now, you've been listening to this gentleman, and what do you see as the fitting amount of money to bestow upon him if he is successful?
$3,000.
$3,000?
$3,000.
$3,000.
What you're playing for. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, you'll play for $3,000.
please do not answer until Mike sings like, who's it going to be today?
God.
Oh, the G-Man.
All right.
We wish you... Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
There is the secret celebrity laugh. First one of this truncated week. And you're playing for $3,000.
Yes! Yes, God! Yes, God! Yes, yes, Creator!
For $3,000. For $3,000. Who is that?
Gary Shanley.
Would you please repeat that?
Gary Shanley.
No!
Oh, we're sorry.
Nope, absolutely not. However, a good guess. Please remember that every guess is a clue for you. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Hold the line, please. We will do it again shortly. Okay, a couple of quick things. Then we'll hear about Mike's hockey game.
Yeah, hey there.
And then we want to spend a large amount of time listening to Rob A's tape.
Yeah, because you were telling me you haven't heard this tape yet, and you don't know what happened to Rob in New York. And Rob has been, well, I'll be honest with you, Rob has been behaving a little funny.
Rob, at any time, did you wake up and was your butt bleeding?
It's still bleeding, guys.
No, dear.
Your butt is still bleeding.
Oh, it's got a gallon of cranberry juice in the back of the suit here.
I do know that Rob and Joe went to gay clubs. Mm-hmm. They went to Times Square. They went to the Empire State Building. And they went to the Sopranos party.
Good.
Where Rob was actually able to meet and tape stuff with members of the Sopranos cast.
Cool.
Excellent. So that's all coming up on today's show.
Good.
So I'm going to make this very quickly. First off, Garth Brooks, you are a putz. No one wants to see you try to play baseball. Shut up. Shut up! That's it on Garth Brooks.
Didn't he win the Artist of the 90s at the American Music Awards last night?
Yeah, but the story about Garth Brooks is that he wants to come back and play baseball again.
Right.
You know, for his charity to help kids. If you really want to help kids, you Humpty Dumpty cowboy, just give them some money.
Right.
You can't play baseball. No one wants to see you play baseball. Shut up, Garth Brooks. Number two thing.
I agree with you.
And normally I would have a much longer spiels on this, but in the interest of time, I will crystallize. Larry King has picked another ridiculous name for his new child.
Right.
The new baby is a son.
What is the? Oh, it's another boy.
It's another boy.
Johnny Testosterone.
Because he's so fertile.
Yes, and virile.
And to go along with Chance, the new kid will be scarred for life by being named Cannon.
Right.
Cannon King.
Cannon King.
This is Cannon King. Cannon King. And as a matter of fact, in his column yesterday in USA Today, he indicated that he named the kid Cannon because he thinks that that's the name a star athlete would have.
Cannon King.
Cannon King.
Cannon Edward King.
Cannon King.
Oh, God. What a loser.
Okay, now, next point. Dave Letterman. I've got the vet going with Mike. I think he'll be back by February 14th.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think he'll definitely be back for sweeps. He'll be back on Valentine's Day.
I'm going kind of with a traditional outlook on that, you know, they say anywhere from 6 weeks to 3 months recovery time.
Nah, but in the meantime, what do they do? What do you do?
Right.
You can't run tapes, but no, you know what? You're close to what I think they should do.
They should have Johnny come and show. Oh, what a
no matter idea. How much it costs.
Right.
I don't care if he wants $1 million a goddamn night. You're not going to have a chance against Jay Leno with Jay Leno all new
right.
and having all the celebrities to himself. You know, and I read today in the New York Post they're thinking about Ray Romano or Gary Shandling. Wrong, wrong.
That's brilliant.
Go to Johnny.
Is this your own?
Yes, this is my own.
This is your own idea.
This is my own idea.
This is one of the best ideas I have ever heard.
Thank you.
This is one of the best goddamn ideas I have ever heard.
Mike is dropping the GD bomb like crazy in the year 2000.
I'll tell you right now, I feel like when you say that we're watching some kind of, like we're watching that show,
The Late Show.
You call him up and you say, Johnny, Dave is sick.
No pressure. You got to fill in for a month, maybe 6 weeks.
Right.
We'll do it any way you want. You want to move the show to Burbank? We'll come to Burbank.
Yeah.
You book the guests you want. We'll get your old riders back.
Oh, it would just be...
You want $1 million a night? You got it.
It would be old home week.
Right. And Johnny...
Oh, I love that.
There's no pressure.
Right.
There's no pressure because as soon as Dave is well...
And then what do you do?
You're out.
And then you take the ratings and you blow Leno completely out of the water because everybody's going to go out and watch Johnny.
Here's the trump card. Johnny wants to shove it up Jay Leno in NBC's ass.
Right.
so bad.
Oh,
I don't
absolutely.
Care. I don't care how fat Johnny's gotten.
Have you seriously thought about, like, putting a phone call in?
Mike, this is my way of putting a phone call
in. Okay, I understand that.
I'm throwing it out now.
That's a great idea.
Into the ozone. This is my idea. I take 100% credit for it.
I mean, this seriously ought to go to Les Moonves.
Call Johnny.
Really?
Have Johnny come out. Because, as you know, Dave lives... sucks Johnny's ass.
Dave would love to have Johnny substitute. Dave would make the call himself.
Dave loves Johnny. Johnny loves Dave because Dave was loyal to Johnny.
Right, great idea.
You know, otherwise, you know, forget about it. NBC is going to kick ass.
Absolutely.
Who's going to watch a Letterman rerun from a crappy show that was crappy to begin with when you can watch Jay Leno do a brand new show every
night? Johnny's had just enough time now where he'd probably love just to come back for fun.
Mm-hmm. You know what? It's Johnny's way of coming out, whipping his thing out and peeing all over NBC.
I agree.
Right? You say, Johnny, there's no pressure. You come back.
There's no contractual. Is there any paper that when Johnny left, that you know, was there any kind of no-compete or anything?
I think their relationship is completely over.
I don't think so. And you just say to Johnny, you just
love
just
that
Dave as well.
Yeah, and not only is he severed with NBC, he still retains control of, I think, every Tonight Show since 82, so he's very independent.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm telling
you. I love that idea.
You go with that, man. Not only do you get momentum on your side,
right.
You get the sympathy vote with the people who think, oh, poor Letterman's in the hospital. Look, his friend Johnny.
Yeah, sure.
Johnny is coming. Hello, Paul. Good evening, Paul.
You have to have Johnny come to New York, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because you got a quick turnaround here. This has got to happen quickly.
Well,
and then you just have Johnny come out and
Johnny's
you know,
a prick, though, so you might have to go to California.
Johnny, the odds of Johnny doing it are astronomical. But, I mean, if he's...
No, you got to appeal to his ego.
Yes,
you
got
to call him up and you go, Johnny.
Johnny.
Johnny, listen to this.
Yeah.
How would you love the chance to do it to Warren Littlefield with a broomstick up his butt?
Could you just explain to me how I do that?
Okay. You step in.
I step in.
And fill in as host of the late show.
The Dave Show?
Until Dave is feeling better. Johnny?
Will you pay me $1 million a show?
Yes.
I'm in. I'll be there Tuesday.
You tell him... whatever, Johnny, you want to do it from a goddamn tennis court.
Here's the deal.
Do the show from a tennis court.
I'd like to do it Wednesday through Friday. Just three nights a week.
Take that deal.
Tuesday through Thursday. Is that okay?
Take it.
Wild, yeah. I'll do Tuesday through Thursday.
Are you kidding? You would get such an audience.
Yeah.
You would kill Leno.
Be phenomenal.
And then, you know, you get the handoff when Letterman comes back.
Right.
And face it, Johnny's always liked Dave better than Jay.
Oh, absolutely. If you had Dave make the call, you know, he's not too sick to make a phone call.
No, he's not too sick. Hey, Johnny, my, oh, my. I'm dying here, Johnny. My, oh, my.
Oh, I've had quintuple bypass surgery. And Johnny's had a bad ticker.
Yes, he has.
The only thing that might really put a damper on it is if Johnny was in such sloppy fat, like...
yep.
Bad health.
Well, if you've seen the tabloids and you've seen, like, the pictures of Johnny wearing tennis clothes. No, he doesn't, but you know what? You just get him a big suit.
You get him a big suit, paint him up.
Right. You know, let him put on his cognac wig. Let him put on that robe. You know,
and you bring... Ed back.
No. No. I'm sorry.
You bring Ed back.
You do the Letterman show... just with Johnny. You let Johnny interact with that Howdy Doody who's Letterman's announcer.
I hate that guy.
You let Johnny interact with Paul Schaefer.
Right. From New York, it's The Late Show with David Letterman. Dave's guest host is Johnny Carson.
Imagine that. Wow. Imagine that.
And now, here's Johnny.
And you play the Johnny theme.
Right.
Right. Sure. I mean, you know, you start off playing the Letterman theme, but when Johnny comes out, you play the Johnny theme.
Sure.
You let Johnny get all those old fart writers and, like, making jokes for him about
you let Johnny
the president.
Bring all the big guests who just want the opportunity to come back and say hi to Johnny.
Wait, tonight, Paul Anka.
Sure.
You know, all the has-beens.
Alan King.
Yeah, tonight, George Segal will be up to play the guitar.
Oh, wouldn't that be sweet?
I'm telling you, that's a genius move.
There's been talk of guest hosts over the last several days, but you know Letterman's going to feel threatened, if you remember your Larry Sanders. He's going to feel threatened by anybody they brought in except
Johnny.
Johnny Carson. Johnny would have no interest in doing it
exactly
outside of that.
But
little...
Johnny has a huge interest in giving it back to NBC.
Oh,
imagine that. Johnny versus Jay.
Jay would wet his pants.
Yep.
Imagine that. Okay.
I mean, I really
think when that happens.
Right. It's like an extension of The Late Show.
Right.
Just remember where you heard it. When that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Right here. I'll take a gold star for that.
That's a great idea.
Hi-o.
That is, Dave, that is a wild idea. Dave, I'll do it for you.
It's pretty incredible.
For you.
Wouldn't that be great? I mean,
get my wife, Jewel D, out of the trunk.
You go from having a situation where they have to, you know, use spackle and putty to put things together to you would create an event out of an adverse situation.
Mm-hmm.
It would turn into a huge media event. There would be more. Oh, man. You pay him. I think you pay him whatever he wants.
Right, sure, right? He wants $10 million a week. Do it.
Yep.
Do it. Johnny, you got it.
Johnny.
Johnny. Johnny. But no Rich Little. No Joan Rivers.
No.
No problem, Johnny. We kiss your ass.
We haven't seen him in public recently, though, have we? Except for those tabloid photos.
Johnny coming out of the hospital fat. The worst was him playing his tennis clothes.
Yeah.
Looked bad. Had the pink eye, like the Bob Hope pink eye
a little bit.
Yeah,
that's the thing I worry about, the pink eye.
No, but you know what? That's the magic of today's modern makeup. You prop him up.
More tribute to the past, too. I think
48 minutes. That's all the show he's really got to do every night.
Right.
And, you know, all those bad photos were before he had his heart trouble. Chances are he's probably slimmed down a little bit because his doctors will have wanted him to.
Well, let's send him a letter.
Hi-oh. Dave.
Dave.
Dave. Hey, Jay. Hey, Johnny. Hey. F you,
us, me, and you, mano y mano.
F you, Jay.
Put a big poster up in Times Square.
Oh yeah,
with Johnny's back.
And you know Letterman would love that. Letterman hates Leno.
Sure.
Letterman used to like having Johnny on his show instead of Johnny going on Jay's show.
Right.
I mean, I'm telling you, there's no one else to host the Letterman show. If they stay in reruns,
except Arsenio.
They stay in reruns. They're killed.
Right.
Buzz, you're absolutely right. You get anybody halfway decent to host the show.
Right.
Letterman is going to have
Martin
a heart
Short.
Attack.
I heard Martin Short. No.
That's a mistake.
Seinfeld was mentioned also.
No. See, all of those guys, the problem with all those guys, even someone like Martin Short, is that he could do a reasonably decent job.
Yeah, but he wouldn't compete against The Tonight Show.
Right.
But Letterman is not really competing against The Tonight Show now either.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about from the psyche of Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
You either want Johnny,
right,
or you just want to go dark at 11:30. You just put on a mass rerun at 11:30.
Mass rerun.
Yeah. Don't get anybody. Don't get someone as funny as Gary Shandling or as funny as Ray Romano, because that'll kill Letterman. They come out, they get a big laugh.
Gary Shandling would be the only one, because I mean, it would be a la Larry Sanders. You know, a little of that Larry Sanders feel to it. He's done that show, and that would be. If you couldn't get Johnny, that would be my next choice.
No, Johnny's the only choice. I'm telling you, that's the play.
How do you think it'll play out? I mean, that's a great idea. How do you think it'll really play out,
Mike? I don't know. How do I really think it'll play? I think they're probably saying reruns.
Yeah.
I think they're probably because
what a nice cop out.
Because Letterman is so insecure,
right?
He doesn't want anybody remotely funny coming on and getting any momentum going.
How about just you get a chest X-ray and you just show Letterman's heart every night with all his new passageway.
Letterman on the phone every night.
Hi, this is Dave.
Hi, it's Dave.
Just enjoying my Jello.
All you're seeing is a big skeleton of his chest.
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Dave. I wonder if you would take a request. Yeah. Go into real estate.
Oh, man.
Bad quintuple bypasser.
See, Dave's not threatened by Johnny.
No.
Because, you know, Dave lives to suck Johnny's ass.
Absolutely.
So that's the play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, last thing I want to say is I've heard a lot of people around here tell me that this matchup of the millennium on ESPN is something that I would love. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
Okay, it's put on by NFL Films and ESPN. It's where they take, for instance, the first game was...
Oh, I know what you're talking about, where they actually do it with computer generated.
The 1966 Packers against the 1990s 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
With Joe Montana, right?
Yeah, except it's not slickly done.
Mm-hmm.
It's not done with computer graphics. It's done with old game film.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it last night. I watched part of last night. It was the Steelers of the 70s. Against the Cowboys of the 90s.
Okay, like Frank O'Hara's and Terry Bradshaw.
Against Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith.
Okay.
The problem is, if you know anything about football, if you've watched football at all, you can tell when the footage changes from Three Rivers Stadium to the stadium that the Cowboys play in.
Sure.
In some of the plays, the Steelers have a bicentennial patch on their jersey from when they played in the Super Bowl against the Cowboys. Sometimes they say, there's Deion Sanders, number 21 for the Cowboys, defending the pass. Except you see clearly on the guy's jersey, the name is like
Jones. What they've done is they just take guys who they take old NFL game films of the Cowboys versus the Steelers in this case. And if number 21 for the Cowboys in 1978 made a decent play against the Steelers,
right,
they just say it's Terry Bradshaw. It's horribly, horribly spliced together.
Mm.
It's like you get old grainy footage put right next to new video footage. And the thing that makes this a train wreck, need that sound effect, Rob, is the Howard Cosell factor.
Oh, yeah.
They're dubbing in the play-by-play?
That, well, what they've done is, apparently they got a tape of Howard Cosell outtakes. So it's not Howard Cosell actually talking about the game. It's Joe Theismann and Mike Patrick and Steve Sable sitting at a table in the opening shot. And in the corner, superimposed, real fakey, like a weatherman standing in front of the weather map, is a 1960s film of Howard Cosell.
Okay.
And as they're calling the game, calling this fake game, Mike Patrick goes, that Terry Bradshaw to Lynn Swann, that's a deadly combination. And Theismann goes, Deion Sanders was beaten horribly on that. Howard, what do you think? I don't agree. Howard Cosell's contributions are all snippets of him going,
right,
what are you talking about?
Oh, that's all it is. It's not him really offering analysis.
No, and at one point, they got something about Bradshaw throws an interception.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And Howard Cosell says, Terry Bradshaw is dumb. He's stupid. He's dumb. Terry Bradshaw is dumb. That's the only thing that they said that remotely made any kind of continuity.
In its train wreck capacity, is it, at least at the beginning, is it interesting viewing?
No. Because they do such a sloppy job splicing together the games.
Like there's not enough computer-assisted stuff in it.
There's no computer-assisted stuff. All it is NFL Films has taken these different games and splice them together.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really pay attention to details, what, Robbie?
Have you heard any of the really bad edits where they, like, try to make Cosell make a comment about a player? Like, Coach Vince Lombardi is upset! And it's like two totally different pieces of cadence, and they just try and jump them together. It's awful.
And if you watch for any continuity, you see at one time when the Steelers score a touchdown, and back in the background is an NBC logo, like from 1978. The next time they score a touchdown, it says Fox in the background. There's no
continuity.
So it's
not, because the guy that called and told you about that the other day was pretty jacked up about it and said you dig it.
Oh, and Charlie Broyle told me I like it. As a matter of fact, the game I watched last night, I would be pissed if I was... This is a guy that was 11. Danny White.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Danny White was the quarterback for the Cowboys.
Exceeded Roger Staubach.
For many, many years. Well, they're doing this jive game where they say, Troy Aikman's out, there's his backup, Wade Wilson. And they show videotape of Wade Wilson when he was a backup with the Cowboys in the 90s, number 11. They show him on the side throwing a pass. Well, the next time the Cowboys have the ball, they go, this is amazing. They have benched Aikman and put in Wade Wilson. And you look at the guy calling the signal.
You know it's Danny White.
You look at the guy's face.
It's Danny White.
It's Danny White. On the back of his jersey, the name doesn't say Wilson. The name says White.
So it's just jive.
It's Wade Wilson.
So what they're doing really, you take issue with the fact they're really just playing with the players' numbers to get the desired effect. And I agree, that sounds kind of cheesy.
And they're not even doing a good job of editing this stuff together.
You would think with the computer assist, they'd be able to, you know, blast in a Wilson or, you know, even, you know, do amazing things.
They didn't. And it goes from one day when the Cowboys played the Steelers in Pittsburgh, it was overcast.
Mm-hmm.
The next time when the Steelers played in Dallas, it was sunny. So when supposedly the same game you're seeing, it goes from being cloudy to sunny, nighttime, daytime.
It angered you.
Oh, obviously. quite obviously it did. Okay, that's it. That's all I had for you. Garth Brooks, stop it. Larry King, stupid name. Letterman, go with Johnny. ESPN Game of the Millennium sucks. That's it. I'm out. Normally it would take me 2 hours to tell you all that stuff, but I've condensed it for you today. Now, when we come back, I want to hear all about your hockey experience this weekend.
Well, I can only tell you this, that based on just one play, I think I'm ready for the NHL.
All right, we will be back to hear the rest of that.
Yeah, right.
From Colin Man.
Yeah, Colin Man.
Right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Piano.
Piano set, yes, in the living room.
Right.
It's gone.
Gone.
And the picture of us on the refrigerator while still there, you can't make it out the way you could make out the old picture that was just you and me.
know.
So whenever we talk to Leah,
we'll have to, you know,
and or Kevin.
I think we're smart. I think we're smart to feel this way a little bit. We should you know, we shouldn't overreact, but we also should be cautiously optimistic.
I think that we should first and foremost try to get our shot on that show, playing ourselves.
Right.
And hopefully Leah will broach that subject with Kevin.
Did you watch last night?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you think like me? You know, if it was not playing ourselves, that last night would have been
a perfect episode.
Wonderful episode.
We could have been two of Kevin's high school buddies who were on a football team.
I mean, it would have been perfect,
right?
I mean, I was thinking of either of us delivering that line when they walk in. Hey, nice place you got here.
Yeah.
I mean, how much talent is that
perfect? Right. None.
You know?
Absolutely none. But regardless of what happens with us doing another walk-on on King of Queens,
right,
we got to have a new picture up.
Yeah.
And we got to find out if they could put the other picture back up on the piano in the living room.
I think so.
Because that picture's vanished.
I think that's only the right thing to do.
Okay. Well, listen, we'll handle that when Leah Remini calls the show, if she ever calls again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mike, this weekend,
yes,
you played in a major celebrity benefit hockey game.
It was the benefit hockey game for the Children's Inn at NIH, and it was out here in the Washington area, and we had a great crowd. I was really, I got out there at about 4:45 in the afternoon. That's what time they said to be there. And I did not know. I had not been out to the place, and I had been saying they had TVs. Well, it was perfect, because they had TVs to watch the game.
Tell the truth, you were worried about the turnout, because as it turns out, this hockey game was going to be dovetailing with the end of the Redskins playoff.
Yeah, I really was worried about, you know, and everybody was worried about there. But the good news was we had standing room only. It was a sellout out there. It was an absolute huge crowd. And it was probably one of the, you know, the biggest crowds in a non, you know, arena place. You know, it was basically an ice rink with bleachers. And they sold the place out. And it was fantastic.
That's great.
They had TVs there. I was going nuts trying to get a score of the game. I was trying to figure out, because we had to be, like, in the locker room at 5 o'clock. And so, you know, when I went into the last time I had contact about what the game was, 3-0 Redskins. Okay. I missed basically the entire game, and I was trying to find out what was going on. But we had a great crowd out there. It was a terrific turnout. Everybody had a great time. And, you know, there were some of fans of the show. You know, we get the, you know, there's something. Why is it? I always think of our show when I'm thinking of the listeners that we are broadcasting to, I'm thinking of the 20-something men. You know, that's really in my mind. You know, the guys that call all the time.
So who showed up?
These youngsters. You know, these young roughies.
Oh,
you know?
Come on. How young?
Well, there was one kid that came. They let the kids come into the locker room to have the players sign autographs during between the breaks when they were making the ice. And you sit down there and the kids would come in. And there's this one kid. I wish I remembered his name. And he walks up to me and he says, "I like the Crocodile Hunter. I like it when you do the Crocodile Hunter." And he's like, and it's funny because he's probably 12 or 13 years old.
Okay.
And then there were two other young roughies that were out there, and they were out in the hallway when I was there. It's just, but I realized that when we always say from the womb to the tomb,
mm-hmm,
that is true the way people listen to this show. So I was out there, and it was apparent that the game, the last benefit game that I had played, was at a much lower level than this one. This one was going to be more competitive. And I knew, I started to get nervous when I heard some of the players in the locker room making comments like, "Hey, remember last year when we all fell asleep and all us old guys ran out of gas? They almost came back and got it. Yeah, they scored 4 goals in 5 minutes. It was incredible." And I'm sitting there, so, oh my God. I'm saying inside my mind, on the outside I'm laughing, but on the inside I'm saying, they're taking this seriously.
And you, of course, have done zero training for this event, right?
No, the only training I have done is that I have probably fallen off the bandwagon and I smoked a couple of cigarettes. And that does not go with you know, with athletic endeavor. And I actually was worried.
Were you smoking during the game?
No, not during.
When you were out on a shift on the ice?
No, at some point I was thinking maybe I should, but I was not nearly. First of all, I was 3 or 4 pounds heavier than the last time I had played. And that particular 3 or 4 pounds made all the difference in the world, and as far as stamina. I was winded and sweating when we had the pregame skate.
Oh my!
I was sitting there kind of going, but I said, let's go. There are more guys. There are more players out here. There were more former NHL guys than I played with in a long time. You know, there were guys like Craig Laughlin. There was a guy, you know, Alan Hangsley.
Craig Laughlin's a funny talking guy, right?
He's the guy that does the color commentary for the Capitals games.
He's the guy that talks like that, and I was in the locker room with him.
And the only thing they put me on his line after I was whining about the fact that I wasn't going to have a number, because they said, hey, Mike, I got your jersey over here, because you get there, and it's not like remember when I used to play on the Washington Capitals alumni team when I was the court jester for that particular group of guys?
Right. Remember?
And they actually, the neatest thing that happened to me was they gave me a jersey with my name on it, which was the coolest thing, because they all have their jerseys with the names on it. Well, this time, it's been a while, I haven't played with the team on a regular basis, so they basically keep a box of jerseys and stockings, hockey socks, for the guys that show up. Well, there were so many guys that showed up this time that the only number they had was number 18, which is Craig Laughlin's number. And I'm sitting next to Craig Laughlin.
And he's the guy who used to play, so you don't want to take his number.
Yeah, I felt like an a-hole with that. So I said, hey, I don't want to have one of the players' numbers. I want to have my own number. He said, let me see. Okay, and they look through their little box there, and they say, we got this. And it was a blank jersey.
No number at all.
So I mean, I'm faced with this dilemma. What do I do? Do I go out with the same number of the guy?
Well, what number was Craig wearing?
18. And what number did they give me?
18. So you both wore 18.
Yeah, but his had Laughlin with 18 on it, and I wore 18 with nothing on top of it. And it was just it's obvious when you see me hit the ice, when I start skating around, when I start bringing my fat ass around the rink, that I am not one of the, quote-unquote players.
Magma.
I don't need that exemplified further by, and then we have the pregame introductions. And they say, from the Washington Capitals, you love the forward, Craig Laughlin, hey! And then, the speakers are pointing towards the bleachers. And I said, it's not in a surround rink. It's one side of the rink is where the crowd is. So I hear, they're on number 18. It's a fine photo. We would never have the jersey. Unfortunately, it's so please listen. And I don't even know what I'm supposed to skate over there next to him, because they're doing this soliloquy about why I'm wearing the same number as he's wearing. So I skate over next to him, and it's kind of like, ha, 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 there he is. The same number, a-hole. Yeah. All right. There you go. And I felt like a doof. I just felt stupid. You know what
I understand.
When you're playing, you're so insecure anyway. You're playing with guys who really used to play hockey. I'm gonna
take
you right through the reasons that I am so completely insecure, okay? First of all, you're playing with guys that have played. Second of all, you are not an athlete, nor have you ever been an athlete. You played hockey in high school. That was in the 1970s, okay? That was back when you were able to do things. You're not able to do things anymore. Even if you're a normal athletic guy, you're still going to look kind of stupid out there. Sure, they're physical specimens, like in their 40s that play. But I'm a 40-year-old guy.
You're no Gordie Howe.
I'm not Gordie Howe. So that's, I got that going for me, which is nice. Then, thirdly, I'm just not prepared for that particular competition on that. I've been more prepared for games. I've skated before, leading up to these.
Yeah, there was
You know what my preparation was? The holidays. New Year's, Thanksgiving, Christmas. Eating, feeding, drinking, smoking. I'm not advocating this lifestyle. I'm trying my damnedest to change things, but I'll tell you right now, I was not ready. And then, the last thing that I will say is, I get along great with these guys, and I've known them for years. Most of them are the guys that play in this alumni team that are still in the area. I've known a lot of these guys for years, and they were all there. And these guys take a great deal of pleasure in busting my balls out.
Of course.
There, which I understand, and I actually
You're
like
the
it.
DJ.
If they don't do that, I would think something was wrong. I've always said I enjoy that. But you put all of those things together, and then you put a large group of people in this Garden's ice house.
Pucker factor.
There's a huge, huge pucker factor. So I'm sweating before we even get out there. I'm actually nervous. And then I see the bar that we're playing, the nightclub that's going to be our opponent. This bar, I think it's called Coconuts.
Right.
These guys are a better than average hockey team. These guys are actually guys to play. So it's going to be a high level, and I'm just totally, you know, every time I'd skate out there, every time I'd skate a shift, I would look back and, you know, you'd see the guy, you know, hey, Mike, you know, and I look and I see like eight of these guys, you know, with their toothless smiles just going, hey, there he goes again. However, I will tell you this.
Yeah, well, here we go.
There was one moment. There was one moment. It was a play. It was the best play that I've ever done. It's the best play I've ever made in hockey of this at this level, playing with the alumni team. It's the first thing. It was a pass. It was not a goal. It was I went into the corner with this guy, and I got the puck from him, and then I did a behind the back pass that nobody saw coming because they don't. You know, even the guy. It takes the guys from the opposition team. It takes them probably 30 seconds to realize. I'm the guy you don't go near. You don't have to worry about this. You know, I'm not a factor.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, really, the level is so separated. These guys flying all over the ice. Even, you know, some of these guys, the older guys, they're flying all over the ice. And me, I'm keeping up. I'm doing everything I can to get. But as far as mobility, shooting, all that, it's like,
not an offensive
don't worry. I take the puck from this guy. I do this pass. This pass is so good that the goalie has come out all the way to the left side. And Craig Lochen, it just ends up on his stick, and he's got a wide-open, empty net. And he throws it into the air with one of the greatest assists in the history of the game.
How did you do this, though? How did you do it?
I have no idea. I really don't. They have the guy that Craig was with a bunch of the guys from the network that covers the Caps.
Yes.
He had a camera crew out there, and apparently they got it on videotape. And I practically tackled the producer, and I said, you know, get me a copy of this. I want to see what it looks like.
Well, we'd all love to see that.
I want
to
see it. I want to see what it looks like. But, you know, I also know.
Bring it to the next video. Vegas style show. We'll put up on a big screen.
I'd be happy to. I really, because it was the one moment, and the guys, as much as they bust my balls, were really nice to me about it.
That's great.
They were all kind of happy because they were, I think, in a state of semi-shock that I was able to do this, and you know, it was cool. So I was very, very pleased with the turnout, and I think they raised a lot of money for the Children's Internet.
Oh, good. And you didn't suffer a heart attack.
It was, but you know, at one point, they're going through the room with the TV camera because they're getting they're putting a thing together for home teams. Sports, and you know, I said, I'm really glad that we're associated with a hospital because you are looking at a heart attack in progress. Because that's how bad. That's
you want to talk to a guy who was there?
Sure, why not?
Here's Mike from DC, who was actually at this game.
Hi, Mike.
Don and Mike, my brothers. How are you?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Blair Stewart says you're a heck of a hockey skater.
That's one of the former Capitals, Blair Stewart, who who actually got a little testy during the game.
Was that the guy you told me got in a fight?
Yeah, a little throwback to the old days, you know, where he got into a little, you know, it was just, you know, it's hockey.
So he got sticked.
Yeah, he got sticked and he got a little testy out there. So
I'm a little disappointed with you, though, Mike.
Why?
We didn't see you at the post-game party. Heard you had to leave after a period and a half.
Yeah, well, actually, two periods.
I left another function.
Yeah, I left after two periods.
Another charity function. Another very busy charity function.
I can only give so much, sir.
Went up to the Turtle with Stewie after the game, and he's got some choice words for you.
He does?
Oh, yeah, he'd like to speak with you.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You mean he's mad at me?
No. He just wants to just give you a few pointers.
Well, they all want to give me pointers.
Well, now, what about Mike's excellent behind-the-back pass?
Did you witness my pass?
I didn't get there till about the middle of the second, so I don't think I saw that, but...
I'd get off the phone.
Right,
unless you saw the great...
Hold on, I got a girl here who says it was awesome.
Oh, good.
Hello, Kim.
Yeah. Not a girl, though.
Oh, Kim was... That scared me. Kim, bagger you. Hey, my name is Kim. Wait, what are you, Chinese or something?
It's a torturous name.
Kim, all right. Kim.
I got... You know, there was a lot of mention on the pregame, too, about the... I got it on tape here, if I can get it wrong.
What?
Michael Mara, he still could be playing hockey. Final score 38.
The pregame for the Caps game on Sunday. Al Kokin mentioned you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just
roll
had...
that back. Roll that
I
back.
I want to hear that. Let me roll back again. They mentioned it. It come right after the... they just played the...
It come right after, Mike.
When do it come?
Here, it's coming right... It's right here.
Let's see. If Craig Lochen had a center iceman as skilled as Michael Mara, he still could be playing hockey.
Yeah. And hey, maybe you got some airtime on HBO.
How about that?
Cool. That's
good for you. Well, they even did an interview. They even aired the interview from the locker room when you were talking to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have the whole thing on tape.
Oh, good. Well, send it along if you don't mind.
Hold on a second. Hold on. We need your info.
That's cool.
Sure thing.
Magma. Well, I didn't even know that they were doing it for the game the next day.
Very
that's good.
Cool.
So it was, I guess, anybody watching the hockey game. That was cool.
Uh-huh. Huzzah!
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 Huzzah! Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
All right, hold on. Here's a guy who says it was at the Caps game.
Okay.
We're going to stay with hockey for a second.
Yeah, what they told me was that the stuff that they were videotaping was primarily to run on the tell screen at the MCI side.
Well, this guy wants to tell us about Charlie Stossel doing his halftime contest.
Oh, that's right. That's
to
right.
Shoot the goal for $1 million at the Caps game. Hello, is this Mike?
Yeah, guys. How are you?
Hi, we're great. Thank you.
Oh, well, the ultra athlete Charlie Stossel just did stupendous. When he walked out on the ice, he expected everyone to applaud when they announced his name, and you could have heard the crickets. And they put the carpet so the guys wouldn't fall about 10 feet in front of the net. He wound up, missed the puck. It rolled maybe 5 feet, didn't make the net. Then he stomped his foot. He was so angry, and he pretty much went straight down square on his bottom.
Oh, he fell?
Oh, dear.
Yes, he did.
Charlie Stossel fell.
Yes.
He fell. Well, now, did he fall on a carpeting?
Fall on a carpeting?
Well, they set the carpet, like I said, about 10 feet in front of the net, so it was a no-brainer to hit the puck into the net to see how fast it would go. The girl that did it before him, because there were four people on the team, a girl went first, she did it. He wound up, stand on the shot, just kind of hit the ice probably a foot behind the puck. The puck dribbled about 5 feet toward the net, didn't go in. He kind of turned sideways and stomped his foot like a little girl and hit the ice. His feet went straight up and he came flat down.
Oh, Jesus.
I'd rather see the video of that than Mike making this great pass.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
He fell.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
That's more great ammunition for Stossel's next appearance. Okay, one more call, Mike.
All right.
Here's a guy named Glenn who says he saw the pass.
He saw the pass.
Mike.
Yes?
Hey, that was an awesome pass.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Gretzky-like, wasn't it?
Yeah, only those who play could really appreciate it.
That's cool.
What you did was great.
It was so great that I really didn't know what I did.
Yeah,
I'm serious. I didn't have any idea where it was going.
Hey.
I didn't know where it was going. I mean, I really
take it, Mike. Don't complain. You could have had either a great moment like that. How would you like to have a Stossel moment?
Oh, man. Remember when we did that?
Yeah.
Can you think of anything more embarrassing than if we fell?
I remember you telling me, don't fall.
All right, hold on. I got to go back to the Stossel thing for a second. Candace says Stossel did not fall down at the MCI.
Candace.
Yes.
What's the deal with Stossel?
From my opinion, he didn't fall. He just, like, laid down from embarrassment. You know, like, he just, oh, God, and he hit the carpet. And just laid there for a minute because he was so mortified that he had missed.
When we get a call, why do I always think we've got a Stossel plant?
Yeah, I think so.
Either way. You know, whether he fell down or just laid down.
No, it's not good. You don't lay down on an ice hockey rink.
I know.
You don't, no matter how embarrassed you are, you don't lay down.
Right?
Well, that was the opinion I got.
It
didn't look like he slipped, like his feet went out from under him and he fell.
Did he stomp his feet like a girl?
Maybe. I don't remember.
Okay, I mean, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Candace.
Bye.
More reason to torture Charlie.
All right, well, that'll be Friday's episode. You know, every week we come up with something new to talk to Charlie Stossel about.
Just the stomping the feet like a girl works.
Well, congrats to you.
Thank you very much.
Congrats to Charlie Stossel. And now, on to the PSD resistance of today's show.
This is a man who had a bigger weekend than anyone.
Mm-hmm. Rob Spiewak went for a gay excursion this weekend, went to New York with his friend Homo Joe.
Yes.
To go sightseeing, spend some time together.
It was great.
And go to the exclusive HBO Sopranos party.
Which was very, very cool. I have to thank HBO because there was probably, I think, maybe 100 people tops in like a little theater at the HBO building at the very top. And they saw the episode on Saturday night, and it was just great.
So like 100 people were there.
I think the theater capacity was, it said, not to exceed 104 people.
Which is, I mean, that you don't
get more exclusive.
That's pretty intimate.
And what members of the cast did you get to meet?
The only person that was there that I could not get to because she was surrounded by too many people was Lorraine Bracco, Dr. Melfi. But I got a chance to talk to Carm. I talked to the two Soprano kids. I talked to Paulie Walnuts,
although he wouldn't go on tape. He was standoffish about that. We weren't supposed to have tape recorders at the Sopranos party.
Oh, really?
So yeah. Some of them were a little skittish. Who else was there? I got to talk. I didn't interview him, but I spent a long time with MTV's J.J. Jackson, who was covering
it
for
Westwood
One.
I don't care about that.
I don't care about the Sopranos. You talked to Pussy? Was Pussy there?
Pussy wasn't there. The people that weren't there, as far as I could tell.
What about Tony? Was he there?
Tony wasn't there.
Tony wasn't there?
Not there.
Oh, that sucked.
But you know who was there? What was great is the guy who owns the restaurant.
The guy that pulled out the shotgun at the end of the year?
Right, and also the new character, her name is Totoro, she plays Tony's big sister. She was there and she was very pleasant.
You mean the good-looking sister?
No.
No, you mean the pig sister?
The new one, the one who was new on this episode.
Didn't Tony have two sisters in that episode?
There's one sister that just comes to the family reunion at the end that they're lying on the chaise lounge
right.
talking about it.
That's the one who I met was good-looking.
The big thick sister.
Who, in one episode, I already hate passionately.
Yeah, she's great at playing hate, isn't she?
Was she nicer in person?
Very cool. Yeah.
All right. So she's on the table also.
I can't remember. There was a lot of drinking.
Who do you have? Do you have Tony's wife on the tape?
Yeah, Karma's on there.
You have the kids on the tape.
Yeah. Oh, and another guy wouldn't go on tape, but he was there. Was Christopher, the nephew with the big eyebrows and the big nose.
Oh, the guy who's running the stock place
now? He was at the party but wouldn't go on the tape.
Oh, right. Gotcha. Yeah. Too bad.
You know what happens? We weren't even supposed to have a tape recorder there, so what we got was gravy.
All right, we'll hear that in a second. I'll just give you a brief thought about The Sopranos. I mentioned this to Mike. This is what sucks about liking a show that everybody's late to the party liking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were on The Sopranos bandwagon after the first episode. I came in the next day and I said to Mike, I have just seen...
Yeah, I got to give you your props. You turned everybody on.
I've just seen the greatest show ever. It's a show that's made for us. It's a show about the mafia. It's fantastic.
It was really... And then we all sort of watched it. It was like, it is, and it still is. It's like watching Goodfellas every week.
Best show on TV. Well, the problem is that now in the second season, because they got the hype machine going...
Oh, yeah.
You've got a lot of people who watch The Sopranos on Sunday night...
Right.
...who would not watched it last year,
mm-hmm.
which is why the first 10 minutes I thought sucked.
When I was 17.
Because all they did was try to give all the people who haven't seen The Sopranos before like a 5-minute recap.
And I liked that because I was watching it with my in-laws, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, who had not seen it, and I didn't have to explain anything, and that served it. But I understand it was frustrating.
But for those who have put the time in.
Yeah, it's like, why are we doing this? We know all these people. These are all our friends.
Right. But that was my only complaints. Always a little bit of a slow-moving first episode.
I did like the introduction of the sister character. I think she works. Yeah.
And I was so glad to see Pussy right in the very beginning.
He's back.
When he was down at the end of Tony's driveway.
Yeah, things aren't right, though. They still don't trust Pussy. Right. You can tell.
No, well, when Tony was hugging him, he was feeling him up for a wire.
Absolutely.
Right.
And the other guy, your favorite hit guy there.
The guy with the gray hair.
We gotta get his name. Is it Paulie Walnuts?
Paulie Walnuts.
He always wears the jogging suit.
He doesn't like Pussy.
He's my absolute favorite on The Sopranos.
Yeah, he's a real deal.
That guy kicks ass. That guy wouldn't go on mic with you?
He wouldn't, but you know who he was hanging with at the party?
Who?
The Bada Bing girls.
Oh, the girls with the big boobs?
Yeah.
The Bada Bing girls.
All right.
So they were there too, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay,
we've got an entire day and evening of Rob in New York.
And The Sopranos.
With Homo Joe, including Rob and Homo Joe in Times Square.
Super!
But I think they've had a little too much to drink. We will get to that tape in our next break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Tell everybody what you think.
About what?
About the situation you're in.
Oh, I did good things. It's aggravating. I'm just sitting in traffic reading a book.
Let me tell everybody around the country what a fucker clock living in Washington, D.C. is.
Have people freaked out because of the literal, not even dusting of snow that we got today?
Yes. About 2 hours ago, it started to flurry rather heavily. Within 30 minutes, schools called us, started telling us they were going to be closed tomorrow. Lots of people called to say church events are closed tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The YWCA events are closed tonight. All of a sudden, this goddamn city, Washington, D.C., gets into a panic mode.
Absurd. It's really absurd.
Like nowhere I've ever lived before.
Right.
My wife called me an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I'm on the Beltway, and
I can't even get on the stupid Beltway.
It's not moving.
I haven't been able to make enough progress to even get on the Beltway.
My kid's away at school for the last 2 hours for mommy to come pick him up.
Oh, my God.
You know, it,
that everybody left work at the same time early because they were afraid of what traffic would be.
Oh,
so instead of rush hour being stretched out over 3 hours or whatever it normally is, everybody's on the road at the same time, and there's little bits of ice which make everybody drive 1 mile an hour, you know, and I don't even blame them for the driving slow. It's just that there's too many people out here.
It's because as soon as people, in D.C., as soon as it starts to snow, people spaz. Yes, Buzzy.
Frida, how much snow is there out there? How much snow can you see?
On the road, you know, it's just like blown over. I'm in a residential area right now, and I mean, it's white.
Montgomery.
But you can see the grass through it. I mean, that's how unsnowy it is.
You can see the grass through it, and yet Montgomery County has declared this a snow emergency.
that's the problem.
Right. It's beyond
that's
reason.
That's the problem. This is not a snow emergency.
Right.
This is a snow flurry.
Right.
An unpredicted snow flurry that happened this afternoon, which is sticking to the sidewalk and not even covering the grass outside.
I think there are a lot of people that are justifying their existence today. I really do. I think that happens a lot in this town. I really do.
Emergency. You want a snow emergency? Move to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's where you have a snow emergency.
Sure.
This is not a snow emergency.
Well, then after I get Bart, then I have to get home. So you'll beat me home tonight, sweetheart.
I'm ordering everybody on the Beltway now.
Get off.
To just clear a path. My wife needs to do carpool. I'm serious. I'm a very important man in this town.
That's right.
Everybody, get your ass off the Beltway.
I remember when I was driving a school bus in college. I'd come home from breaks, and I would make money being a part-time school bus driver. I remember driving kids home from school with about 3 inches of snow on the ground and snow falling at about 2 inches an hour. I mean, you deal with it.
Right.
Not if
you live in D.C.
No, here, I the first time I moved down here, I remember looking up Massachusetts Avenue and seeing people going, just in a total panic with cars in every which way. Nobody gets it. Frida, I guarantee that somewhere along the line, somebody is screwed up. That when you get to it, there's probably going to be somebody that has decided to, you know, plow into the back of somebody.
Or maybe. Maybe they pulled the best D.C. move of anywhere else. And this is uniquely Washington, D.C. When the weather gets bad, people freaking abandon their cars.
Right.
I mean this. They will stop their car on the side of the Beltway, which is a 12-lane superhighway.
Right.
They just get out of the car and start walking.
Yeah, you get more than 5 inches of snow, you can see that all the time around here.
I wouldn't be surprised if people have already started abandoning their cars today.
Well, you know what? I'm tempted. Because my car's not moving. Good thing I have my novel with me.
No.
I've got groceries.
Good thing you have such an entertaining radio show to listen to.
Absolutely.
Imagine what our time spent listening must be.
We want people. We're taking people away. We're taking people away every day. We're taking you from that moment in your car, and we're whisking you away to happy place.
This show is like a Calgon bath oil.
No, you're whisking them right where they are. You're whisking them to unhappy places.
Right. Great. If you're sitting in traffic right now and you're listening to this, it's making you feel better.
I have just ordered everybody to get out of your way. That should happen momentarily. Tell me what's the car directly in front of you. Describe it.
It's a green car. I don't know what it is. It has Maryland plates.
All right, I'll tell you that in the newest ratings we have a 10 share, which means at any given time, which is an ungodly rating in a major market, which means at any given time, at least 10% of the population is listening to us.
Right.
And we know that the ratings are way below what they really should be.
Right.
In our case, having a 10 share means we're number one, and the next station in our time slot has a 5 share.
Right.
Okay, so we have doubled the audience.
Everybody is listening.
So everybody virtually is listening right now. I'm going to bet that the person in front of you is listening, and what we need to get going here is a chain reaction.
Where everybody's going to clear the path.
Yes. What is the brand of the car in front of you?
I can't tell.
Honey, come on.
You know I'm no good with brands. It's the kind that has what looks like a box with a line down the middle and a line going across. An old person's kind of car.
It's a Snowcat.
Wait a minute. A box with a line?
No, the little emblem on the trunk is a square.
It's a Lincoln.
Oh, a Lincoln Town car?
Yeah.
And I know that I do not discount the popularity of this program, but you are completely ignoring the selfishness of the people of Washington, D.C. You know this. I know this. They can love this show. It's not going to make a difference, Don. Not on the way home, Don.
No.
Well,
people love me.
I
can't help it.
Do you think that the love that people have for you
will allow my wife to get through this to get my son to school?
Yeah, because they could do it because I'm in a residential. If they would all just pull into the nearest driveway and let me go through.
true.
Let's start with this old fart in the Lincoln Town car in front of you.
You're not going to make him love you by saying that.
He loves that. He loves my irreverence.
He does. He likes your old fart reference.
For sure.
Is it an old fart, Frida?
Well, he's wearing a plaid shirt.
Old fart.
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely. Listen, old timer, here's a little impassioned plea just to him. Let's face it, your days on this earth are numbered anyway. The earth was meant for young, vibrant people like myself and my wife and my young son. Very soon you'll be pulling over forever. So why not make it a little easier on yourself? Pull over right now. Let my wife in the black Toyota get by.
Okay, that should do it.
Now I got to wait 10 seconds.
Sure, there's a delay.
Robbie, where's my waiting music?
Oh. Let's wait and see if the green car in front of Frida is responding to Don's impassioned plea.
Again, I'm talking to the man.
It was very reasonable.
Hey, I think he's pulling over.
Ah, there you go.
Right.
No, come on, don't BS me.
Sugar Bear, no, he's not pulling over. Nobody's doing anything. We're all just still sitting here.
All right, listen, old man. Robbie, that's the Tonight Show. Where's the Father Time music?
All right,
listen, old man.
Opportunity.
This is a young, vibrant American male. Full life.
You ought to throw him a little sugar. Just a little bit of sugar.
All right, I tell you what, old man.
Thanks for WW2. Tell him thanks for WW2.
Well,
there
you
just go.
Said that. Thank you. Thank you for fighting for my freedom. Now, I'm tired of asking. I'm telling. Take that green goddamn boat and move it out of the way. Move into the next driveway. My wife has to get my son at work and has to get home to fix my dinner tonight.
Your son's at work?
I mean at school.
Okay.
We put him to work.
You understand?
That's going to work. What's the guy doing now?
He put on his brake lights.
He didn't flip you off or anything, did he?
Turn on your flashers, honey.
All right.
Turn on your flashers.
I got my flashers on.
Is he reacting?
Nope.
All this wouldn't be a problem if we were all at 16 years of age given jetpacks.
This right. would not happen if people would take my advice, and when people get to be over 50 or 60, they would have their driver's license taken away, with the exception of Mike's mom.
The guy in the next lane, his eyes are closed. He's sleeping.
Oh, Christ. Jesus Christ.
You know, when you ask people, the day after Thanksgiving not to go to the shopping malls, people listen to you.
Mike, I can't believe that all the love that I know people feel for me has not cleared the instant path from my
life. Nobody seems to want to show you the quan today.
All right, honey. Sorry.
Thanks for trying, boo-boo.
I gave it my best shot.
All right. Love you.
Love you. But don't forget, no matter what happens, dinner on the table at 8.
I'll be cleaning up dog poo.
Oh, come on.
No, those dogs will have had to hold their legs long. You can
Oh, that's
legs.
Right. My dogs have been alone in the house since 1 o'clock today.
Don't do that.
There will be mounds of dog poo in my house.
I'll fix dinner if you'll clean up the dog poo.
No way. I will order dinner if you clean up the dog poo.
All right. Come by, boo-boo.
Honey, you know I got that gag reflex.
Yeah, I know you've developed that gag.
I've not. That is a natural born trait.
People say what a loving father you are until I tell them you changed one diaper.
Oh, listen, I was about to puke. The poop that my son had when he was a baby, I would go to change a diaper, and seriously,
you gang?
I would feel like I'm going to throw up on
really?
The baby. I swear to God.
Really? That doesn't bother me. Dog poop bothers me.
No. If you didn't have a choice, it wouldn't make you. If you got used to it.
Honey, I can't get used to it. It makes me vomit.
Well, then after you vomit a few times, you'd be used to it.
I never had to get used to it, honey.
Yeah, I know, because you have your slaves.
Right, because I have you.
All right, boo-boo, you can spend the night near the radio station if you want.
Honey, this is not a blizzard. I don't want to spend the night at a hotel.
I was giving you a pass.
I know you're giving me a pass.
God, no, we don't get into that like we used to.
No.
Okay.
Like, 10 years ago, me and Mike would have taken it as an opportunity to go to some bar.
I know. Yeah.
Get drunk all night.
Doesn't happen anymore.
Well, I'm coming home. Too bad for you.
All right, I love you.
I love you.
Goodbye, boo-boo.
Don't forget, Nicole, dinner by 8.
Okay, listen, I'm stuck in my car. Make your show entertaining.
All right.
Do it just for me. You know what? Right, that would be nice. I'd appreciate that.
All right, goodbye.
Okay, you could do one of those little games we heard about where you list 25 things you like to do and I list 25 things I like to do and then we put them together and see.
Is this the dumbest thing ever? This guy we know, he says, you know how I keep my relationship fresh with my wife? This guy's been married to his wife for like 20 years.
Right.
First off, this guy, he sits down with his wife every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like to say, just to set the record straight, this couple that we know, they have no children.
Yes, they. Uh-huh. Now, there's the factor right there. If they don't have kids, they, you know, things are easier right there.
He's a professional.
He said it's even more important when you do have kids. He's a professional.
Listen to me. He's a professional. She's a professional. They get up at 6:30 every morning, and they spend 15, 20 minutes, a half hour, having coffee and just talking to each other.
They do it for an hour. They have tea.
I don't believe that. I think it's 20 minutes tops.
When does he have time to take a dump?
Well, I guess he does that before he has this quality time with his wife.
Oh, he probably, you know, if he's like that, he probably holds it.
And here's another thing this guy does. A big experiment he does with his wife. At least he says that he makes a list of 25 things he'd like to do with his wife.
No, sexual
things, like stuff like going...
Do with his wife or do to his wife?
Here's the mayor, you missed the whole point. He makes a list of 25 things he likes to do, and then she makes a list of 25 things she likes to do, and they see where they overlap, and then they do things.
Yuck. So my wife actually forced me in over the weekend, me into agreeing that I would attempt at some point to come up with a list of 25 things I like to do.
It wasn't at some point. It was after dressing and season is done, and they're done.
Do you like paintball, Frida?
No,
she doesn't like anything I like. I already told this guy, so this experiment doesn't work with me.
I bet she'd like to sit in on one of the poker parties.
You couldn't make a list of 25 things you like. You couldn't.
Sure I could.
I already told you when we were talking to John. I already told you I'd do it.
Yeah, but I'm interested to hear. Football season's done.
Can football be on the list?
Yes. That's something I like doing, watching football.
Yeah, well, that's one. I mean,
Going to dinner.
Yeah, I can think of three for you.
Going to movies.
Go ahead, make 25.
Going to the bookstore.
I'll hang up and listen.
Japanese food.
Goodbye. That counts under the restaurant.
Food is inclusive.
Paintball, football, Japanese food.
Put paintball, Mike.
I already put paintball. Paintball, football, Japanese food. I'm out.
No, just food. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Cards.
Video games.
I like playing cards.
What kind of cards? Just poker or all kinds of cards?
Poker.
Just poker.
I like poker.
Video games. I like that Madden 2000.
I love NFL 2K. I love that.
You can't like enumerate them.
You still like jogging? You still like running?
Yes, but not with my wife.
No, you
don't. It's something you enjoy.
Yes, I do.
You don't enjoy it?
No, I don't enjoy it, but I do it. But the point is, but that's something I do that I don't want to do with you.
Sugar Bear, you brush your teeth. That can't go on the list. It's not what you do. It's things.
Mike, brush my teeth down.
No.
That's a good one, honey.
It can't be things like that. It has to be activities you enjoy.
Paintball, football, restaurants, I put Japanese food. Video games, poker, jogging, jet skiing, going to the car wash.
Jet skiing is a good one, Mike.
Jogging,
and you're right. You know me better than she does. I do love going to the car wash. Right.
Going to car wash is not a hobby.
No,
you can't do that.
J.O. Sorry, goodbye, honey.
Goodbye, boo.
This idiot guy I know. This guy who has, like, this perfect marriage. Starts telling us this weekend. So here's what you should do. He's one of these guys that talks like this.
Mm-hmm.
You should make a list of the 25 things you like doing and the 25 things she likes doing, and then you compare. And like on our list, we agreed on items 7, 9, 18, 22, and 25. Then once a week, I take my wife out on a date. Just the two of us.
that's fine, John. F you.
Oh, that sucks.
It's mechanized.
F you.
You know what I didn't tell you, though, about my week? I forgot. Just real quick.
What?
You were talking about your dogs.
Yes.
We went out, and we did an overnight where we left the kids at my sister's house. And because it was so cold, we said, hey, we'll leave the dogs in the house. We gave them a little bit of food and water. We said, we're going to leave them in the house overnight. We're going to shut all the doors to the bedrooms. We're just going to leave them in the house. And, you know, if there's a little poop here and there, you know, if there's a pile of poop here or a pile of poop there, that's fine. Okay, no problem. So we came back, and it was overnight. We came back the next morning, bright and early the next morning. We walk into the house, and I want you to guess how many piles of poop in less than, I would say, probably 12 hours.
Two dogs. I'm going to guess 10 piles of poop.
There were 7 piles of poop in my house.
Oh.
7 piles of poop. I went upstairs and I looked in the, and it was dry. It was, you know, the dry, like perfectly dry poop. And then I looked down and I said, hey, this isn't bad. You know, just two. And I said, I'm going to go downstairs and see if they got down there. And I walked downstairs and I looked down and there are actually it was eight. There were six piles of poop in the downstairs area, the last of which was not of the dry, solid variety.
Oh, my.
The last of which was just a nice, round pile of goo, and they had walked through it. And there were footprints all over. And my standard poodle, Hamilton,
yeah.
I have one chair that I love. I have one chair, a leather recliner that I've had for 7 years that I love more. It's got a greasy head stain on it. You know that kind of leather recliner? You know the kind that you like so much that you've had? He had taken the armrest pad and shredded it into a million pieces, and there was stuffing all over the floor. And just covered with the stuff, and the stuffing had poop on it because they had walked all the way through that. This was the evening, and then he got into one thing. We left one thing out. It was not food. It was plumber's putty. And he had eaten plumber's putty, and upstairs in the dining room was plumber's putty poop. He didn't die. He's still alive. He seems to be doing all right. Damn him. Plumber's putty poop. You should. You know me with dogs, right? You should have heard me. I was like, this is it. They are both going away. Very far away. Forever. What idiots we were. I mean, really, to just leave the dog.
Hey,
they'll be, I said, I can handle that. If they happen to do that, I'd rather have it than it be out in the nice cold weather. You know, with one of the dogs, it was like a Spanish mountain dog is designed for it. But we had to leave the other because I shaved all the hair off of Hamilton because he's a poodle.
That's not too gay.
What do you mean it's not too gay? He stunk, and I got some shears, and I clipped all the hair off.
What do you mean that's a queer look?
It is a queer look.
That's a queer look for a dog.
We gave him, he's all black, and we shaved all the hair off of him, all of it, and then left a little head of black hair up there. He looks kind of like Dean Martin. You better meet me in a house. I'm going to chew up your recliner.
You're killing me.
Yeah, right after I eat this plumber's putty.
You are killing me.
I hate it. I hate having dogs.
Through all of that, we forgot to get a caller 100.
Oh, no.
And I apologize. Thank you for waiting. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, great, Don and Mike show. Who is this?
My name is Paula.
Paula, where are you from?
I'm originally from Florida, and I'm sitting here on this nasty beltway.
All right, so you're in D.C. Darling, you won the Sopranos prize pack.
Oh, my God, did you really?
That includes the CD, the shirt, and more, the book. Don't miss the Sopranos. New episode this Sunday at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, only on HBO. All right, are you ready to go for the money?
I can try.
You can try. You know what? You've been patient. You are sitting in a non-snowstorm snowstorm. We took 15 minutes. We should have done the contest there instead
right.
We talked. You'll go for the max. Shoot the wad. Are you ready to play for
$10,000?
Oh! Okay, 10 grand on the line
okay.
Right now. You identify this secret celebrity laugh, and we cut you a check for $10,000.
Oh, my God.
Can I get cash?
Well, our check is good, honey.
Okay.
It's rhetorical. You get the $10,000.
Okay.
Okay? Simply answer the question, who is this celebrity laughing? Please don't answer until Mike sings like Hank Hill or God. We wish you
Godspeed. Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
That is a $10,000 laugh. And once again, we tempt fate. I think there's a better chance of me coming up with 25 things that I'd like to do with my wife before we give away the $10,000.
Yes, yes, yes.
For 10 grand, who is that?
Is it Steve Martin?
Would you please repeat that?
Steve Martin?
Which Steve Martin?
The only one I know.
Well, I mean, Steve Martin, what does he do?
He's an actor. What was that movie he was on, honey?
Sergeant Bilko.
The Steve Martin that was in Sergeant Bilko?
Uh-huh.
Oh, the comedian.
Yes.
No.
Oh, I still love you guys anyway.
No, we love you too.
That's a fine effort.
It's not anybody named Steve Martin. Absolutely not. But thank you. Don't forget, every guest is a clue for you.
Hello.
Thank you. Hey, listen, if you see my wife, move the hell out of the way, okay?
Well, I'll tell her why. If she'll drive, I'll follow her.
All right, thank you. Hold on, please.
Okay.
See, and that's somebody you just offered $10,000 to. Right. That's the selfish factor I was talking about. Mm-hmm. See, oh, she'll drive, I'll follow her. See, it's always me in Washington.
Right. Only people can seem more like you and me, man.
I know, selfless.
Yeah. If we come back, Robbie, we're going to have to cut right to the chase.
All
right. Let's go right to this drunk guy that you guys met.
I like him.
Okay, this guy named, his name is Hillary?
No, Hilaire.
Hilaire.
Hilaire O'Malley.
Hilaire, because he's hilarious.
H-I-L-A-I-R-E. That is his name.
Hilaire, Irish name.
Hilaire. We will hear him as Rob and Homo Joe continue their Sopranos weekend in New York when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Your bathrobe.
That's the guy. The feds say he was just doing that so they'd think he was nuts so he could maybe get out of his trial. It didn't work.
Right, he tried to pull like a Max Klinger.
Right.
Remember this Max Klinger when he was dressed like a woman even though everybody knew he wasn't nuts?
Trying to get a Section 8. And
on MASH.
The exact same thing. But what's funny is the videotape they have of this guy.
Yeah.
When you see him and he's just like looking off into space and stuff, it's great.
Hey, I'm on a MASH rip right now.
Oh.
When I was watching the Tennessee game.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did you ever notice how much Al Del Greco looks like Jamie Farr? You know, the field goal kicker for the Tennessee Titans?
I'd like to see him with the helmet off. I really would. But I mean,
With the helmet on, he's got the big schnoz just like him. Very similar.
Back to you, buddy. I heard all your comparisons to MASH on the pregame show Saturday, which I enjoyed very much.
Well, thank you. What were you doing listening to a football show on Saturday?
Some kind of accident, apparently. No, I enjoyed it very much. I listened to the whole show. It was the first time I listened to it all the way through. And I really like the feature that you write called the opening statement.
Oh, well, thank you.
You have a new fan.
There you go.
Thank you. Well,
about
that?
Thanks for listening. Now the season's over.
He hates football.
I know he does.
That is truly a trooper. I'll be ready for next season now. Well, this Vincent Chin Gigante did wander around in his bathrobe, mumbling to himself to try to pull this off. At least that's what the Fed said. Now, for the Supreme Court, he appealed his 12 years of murder and racketeering. He argued he didn't get a fair trial because a prosecution witness testified through closed-circuit television, a man has the right to face his accusers, Gigante argued. But the witness was dying of cancer and not able to travel. The witness was the guy Gigante was accused of conspiring to kill. Gigante ran the big Genovese crime organization.
Genovese.
And earned the name The Odd Father.
Sabato Gigante. Remember the name of that show on Univision we used to like?
With the big fat guy that used to host it. Saturday.
Like
still on.
Sabato Gigante. It's a combination of love connection,
right.
The Price is Right, concentration, and Wheel of Fortune.
And plenty of scantily clad ladies.
It's hosted by Don Francisco.
Don Francisco, we had him on the show.
We had him on the show one night.
Right.
I couldn't speak a lick of Spanish. I think we tried it with a translator, and it was awful.
It did not work at all. And it was very disappointing when we had the guy that goes, goal!
Oh, that prick wouldn't say goal.
Yeah, he wouldn't say goal. Hey, but that's all we had him on the show for.
Disappointment, really.
Have you noticed they're not handing out credit cards like after dinner mints anymore? The time was you get a couple of solicitations in the mail every day. You've been approved for a new credit card. The credit card companies are cutting back on the number of cards they send out. They're also putting a lower limit on the credit they're extending to people. The result? Credit card customers are cutting back on the number of times they file for bankruptcy. American bankruptcies last year saw their biggest drop-off in history. And
this is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio.
He's not bankrupt, please.
Help me, Don. I do. Help me. Come on, now. Not a penny. I do.
Better credit practices. Get the credit. We were talking earlier about what kind of person spends $3,000 for a paintball gun.
I might.
There are a lot of people like that these days. A new study says the gap between rich and poor is getting wider, and the people with money have money to burn. A concierge at the Four Seasons in Chicago says guests there don't even blink anymore at $60 an hour limos and $400 dinners and $80 an hour for a masseuse for their dog. Financial experts say they have never seen as many people with so much money to burn as they have seen in the last year or so.
Hi, this is Surf.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, wrong.
Like the people in New Hampshire who paid a company $400 to make it snow on just their lawn for Christmas. David Letterman.
That is so jive. How to get your neighbors to hate you.
Daddy, can we have snow?
I'll make sure it's a white Christmas.
Of course, Missy.
Okay. Would you like snow? Daddy's going to get you snow. And then we're going to all go see Willy Wonka because I bought you the golden ticket.
This is Mr. Smith Barney. Get Helen to Hiller. What's that guy?
Hilaire.
Get Hilaire on it right away. I need snow.
man.
Make it happen. Make it so. David Letterman's out for 6 to 8 weeks, which means he will miss most, if not all, of the February ratings period.
Buzz, I want to repeat.
I think you should.
I want to repeat this. I said this earlier today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to go further into this here.
This is 100% original. Mm-hmm. I've not read this anywhere. I've not heard this anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
My idea is not a goof. Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Right.
While Letterman is recuperating, whether it be 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, CBS goes to Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, Johnny, you want $1 million a night?
You got it. Absolutely.
You want to do the show from L.A.? You got it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have all those old farts like Paul Anka on? You got it.
I've got to have Paul Anka.
Johnny is the answer.
You're right.
Because people will not sit and watch Letterman reruns. Let's face it.
Do you feel strongly enough to call old Les Moonves tomorrow?
Mike, what are you, a mind reader?
Yeah.
Because, yes, I've already put the message into Rob to get me the phone number of Les Moonves.
I think it's worth it. I think it's worth doing it.
And maybe not on the air, but maybe off the air.
I think it's a great idea.
Even a call to Les Moonves' boss.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Wow.
That's
you know what I'm talking about, Big Daddy.
Why not?
Listen, Johnny is the only person who can save this situation. Let's face it. Letterman's shows suck.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you watch a rerun of a show that was bad the first time?
Right.
This gives Jay Leno a total monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody coming out with a movie or a TV show or a record right now, you know for the next 6 weeks, you go on Jay Leno, your only other choice is like the Today Show or Good Morning America.
Absolutely, and I am glad you said for the next 6 weeks, because now you have already conceded our bet.
Are you
prepared to concede the bet?
No, absolutely not.
All right.
We have two bets going right now.
Yeah, it was one, and that one I'm a little more shaky about than the other one.
One bet is, and I bet like $50, that Letterman would be back to work by February 14th.
Right.
Right. He'll be back behind his desk by then. The other bet is for a pie in the face.
Mm-hmm.
The playoffs this weekend, I take Tennessee. Mike took Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. That's right. That's the bet right now. And that news story says 6 to 8 weeks. Where they had the people at CBS release that or what?
No, that's from the doctors. That's the same line that the doctors have been saying ever since Friday. 6 to 8 weeks is a normal amount of time.
Friday night. You know, the Frog had Letterman's doctor on.
Right.
Larry King had Letterman's doctor. You know why? The same guy did the procedure on Larry King.
Oh, really? The celebrity doctor.
Is the guy who did the procedure on Letterman. So the guy, this doctor... And he cuts Letterman open, does this, and 2 hours later, he's on Larry King's show. Hi, Larry, great to see you.
I don't know why I don't like that. There's something about that.
There's something that's slippery.
Yeah, that bugs me in a big way.
Don't like it either.
They're talking about 6 weeks, 8 weeks. They've even said maybe longer, but they've also said he has the heart muscle of a 20-year-old, so, you know, who knows?
I'm telling you. Remember I said this.
Right.
Johnny is the answer. Johnny?
And I meant it when I told you. I mean, this is one of the greatest ideas.
Yes.
I think if they did this, it would be brilliant. And I think that somehow, whenever this happens, I don't care if somebody else is taking credit for it. You got to get on the board on this one.
I swear to God.
When that came out of your mouth.
My idea.
Write it down and make a note of it when you said it.
Johnny hates NBC.
Right.
Johnny hates Jay Leno.
Right.
You're CBS, you go to Johnny and say, besides the fact, I'm going to back up a bank truck to your house.
Yep.
And you can do the show in your goddamn tennis outfit if you want.
And even the shows themselves don't matter as much as just the hype surrounding Johnny coming back. You know, and sure, he might come out, but it'll be very sad. But then after
people
that...
People will watch Johnny. Dave is recuperating.
You notice my eyes look like rabbits.
Hey,
and I'm a little... Pink and puffy.
Hey-o.
Turn a negative into a positive, though.
Telling you, Johnny.
Yep.
Let's answer Johnny.
The New York Post was throwing around the names Jerry Seinfeld and Ray Romano, but Letterman's ego would never stand for that.
See, both those guys are too funny.
Right.
Letterman doesn't want to sit at home and watch a guy have a good show, but he'll accept it from Johnny.
Sure, because Johnny was his mentor.
Right, because all he's done is suck Johnny's ass his whole life. He loves Johnny.
He does. Somebody get Mike a towel, please.
He does.
6 weeks would... I just played that videotape in my mind.
Tasty, Johnny.
Oh, Dave. That's the finest it's ever been done.
6 weeks would put Dave back to work 3 days before the sweeps are over. He was up walking yesterday for the first time since Friday's emergency quintuple bypass operation, and CBS is not talking publicly about a guest host, but you know they're thinking about it.
Johnny, there's no way to say the reruns. Remember that. Johnny.
Right.
Johnny's answer.
JC.
Right. Great job, Dave.
JC.
We'll be back, Buzz. Yep. The second most famous JC in the world.
That felt great.